Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
So after we take the mug shots, we bring them on down here where they wait to be interviewed by the arresting officer. Trust me, kids, you do not want to be sitting on these benches. We call this place Loserville.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
He's actually kind of funny.
Yeah, I mean,
is he all there? Like, mentally?
I think so. It's just an odd guy. Kind of weird.
I mean, should we be worried?
No.
Paul Perillo.
Don't forget your Rogaine.
Rogaine. Check.
And don't forget to use it. I can totally tell when you forget your hair just looks thinner.
Using of the Rogaine. Check.
And Andy. And Andy?
You have to park so close?
Yeah, what's wrong? Shouldn't be here.
Andy Hart.
Why is that? I'm not supposed to be within 200 feet of a school.
What?
Or a Chuck E. Cheese.
Eric Scalavino.
You guys might not know this, but I consider myself a bit of a loner. I tend to think of myself as a one-man wolf pack.
For now, anyway.
And 6 months ago, I thought, wait a second, could it be? And now I know for sure, I just added to my wolf pack. Four of us wolves running around the desert together, looking for strippers.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Hey guys, you ready to let the dogs out?
What? Do what?
Let the dogs out. You know, like, ooh, let the dogs out. Ooh, ooh.
Yes, we are ready to let the dogs out.
Who let the dogs out?
All right. Welcome to PFW in Progress. All the dogs will be here. Andy just spilled soda all over the place. Paul will be here. Eric, where's Eric?
He's here.
He's here.
They're both. Bill Belichick is having a press conference at this moment.
Oh, wow.
So they are there and we are here.
It's Eric, a big day. Not really Tuesday and Eric's here.
To
Stocks in the booth. Sure. And, well, it's kind of a weird week.
Yeah.
You know, we've got a lot to talk about, but not the usual stuff.
That's weird, wacky, wild stuff.
Maybe what will go down is one of the worst games in Patriots history. I don't know. We'll see. But not in terms of playing, but in terms of what happened in it. You know, if the Patriots end up losing to Baltimore after scoring 10 points on Sunday, we'll look directly at the loss of Wes Welker as one of the biggest factors of why that happened. On the other hand, you know, they could move and Julian Edelman could have a great game. They could beat Baltimore. And although we won't miss Wes Welker, it won't be as much of a story. We don't know. But certainly coming out of that game, the story was the injury to Wes Welker. It's huge. Obviously, the whole thing about who should have been playing and when and the use of Tom Brady and Randy Moss and the rest of the guys, it's a hot topic this week.
The turf at Houston.
The turf at Houston. Charlie Casserly. We're going to talk about all of that today, tomorrow, and Thursday, leading up to the wild card game Sunday at 1 against the Baltimore Ravens.
We played the game the way we felt like we need to play it.
The week is living up to its title, Fred. Wild. Wild week here. Prepping for something we didn't think we'd be prepping for, and that's a week without Wes Welker. That's a lot of wubba-yous.
I mean, that's that was unfortunate.
It was.
You know, it was like the moment he went down, you just knew.
Sucks.
This was not going to be good.
Yep.
And the way the other players came over to him, they all knew.
And then him crying basically into a towel on the sideline.
So that's
it's even worse that it's non-contact.
Yeah.
I hate those. I'd rather a guy hit him.
Yeah,
I'd rather see him get hit and have that happen than just trying to cut and it just gives way.
It really is the worst thing that could have happened. I mean, other than Brady, obviously, the one guy that you say, oh, you know, they got to have him. He's the rock.
But the reason I say it would have been better if he got hit is because we've all been saying he takes so many hits. One of these days he's not going to get up. He's going to get, you know, you catch the ball underneath. He's so small. I know he's great and he slips off, but sooner or later he's going to get hit. And for him to go through all that 350 times over the last 3 years and then to get hurt just trying to make a shake a guy is just it's just strange.
Life is fickle. You just never know.
And then frickin' Bernard Pollard was involved in everything on Sunday.
I know.
hitting Brady, penalties, touchdowns. He was the guy in front of Welker that Welker was trying to make miss.
Interception.
I mean, just everything.
Yep. Well,
the nemesis.
We'll see. It's a big week. How the Patriots react to this will be key.
That's what I think is the one positive.
Yeah.
There is no doubt now about this team's focus, identity, anything. They're back to us against the world.
Yep.
Wes Welker's hurt. The whole world thinks we're one and done. We don't have a chance. We have no offense. Blah, blah, blah. That's the one, if you want to call it a silver lining to come out of this, is they're back where they are. They're in the hole, the underdog, the team that everyone... Because I know everyone's saying, do you really want to play Belichick and Brady? Well, yeah, I do. If I'm the Chargers, I want them coming to town. They don't win on the road. They blow fourth quarter leads. They don't have Wes Welker. Sure, I'd love to play them.
Right. I mean, yeah, Brady and Belichick are the best in the business, but they're not miracle workers.
Right.
You know, they're not going to pull a rabbit out of their hat. But, you know, we'll see. Now, Paul said, you know, after the game on his Patriots Today wrap-up that he does with the B-Lo, that he has no doubt that mentally, focus-wise,
yes,
they'll be
it was
able
too loud on the field.
They'll be able to move on and get ready without Wes Welker. The question is, from a football perspective, how, you know, that's the question. Offensively, are they going to be able to compensate for the loss of Wes Welker?
Well, I mean, on one hand, you have Julian Edelman with 10 catches for 103 yards. That's a Wes Welker day if there ever was one. Right around 10 catches, right around 10 yards per catch. That's what he does. But, you know, the guy I think that's going to be kind of in the crosshairs and the focal point is Randy Moss. A couple weeks ago, he said, you know, these shoulders, you can put the earth on them. Well, you know what? The earth of this offense is on your shoulders now.
Right.
Are you going to allow yourself to be taken away by a defense that's going to try to take you away?
Right.
Or are you going to put up one of those special Randy Moss days where you come out yapping afterwards and say, with Welker down, I had to step up and blah, and three touchdowns.
Now, let's go back to, you know, Edelman. You said he had 10 catches, and he did, obviously, for over 100
Indy Hart is reporting that Julian Edelman had 10 catches.
And a lot of those catches went for first downs. But how many of them, and I'm just asking, how many of them were on third down and were conversion plays?
I don't know.
I don't remember that, and I remember at the end, they needed that one where it got broken up. He got into a little pushing match afterwards. Critical play, Brady's last series. On
Brady's last series? Brady's last series.
Oh, maybe it was Hoyer's.
It was Hoyer's last series.
Last series. Last series of the game?
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, so my question is, and even in the Jets game, he had, what, 8, 9 catches?
Yeah, he played better in this game than the Jets.
He did. It was a lot cleaner game for him. He didn't have as many targeted that he didn't catch.
It also wasn't his debut.
Well, I would also say that he was targeted 15 times in this game and caught 10, and I believe at least 3 of the incomplete passes happened on the last drive with Hoyer. So when Brady and he were on, this is not Welker. There's a drop off, but he was pretty good. Edelman was pretty good.
So what's below
on
loose change? Because that's what Edelman is.
But I'm just trying to figure out.
Haypenny.
You know,
if you haven't got a halfpenny, then God bless you.
Then Julian Edelman will do.
Is it fair to think that we'll get the third down, you know, 3rd and 8, 3rd and 6, even 3rd and 3 catch that Welker, we knew he was going to make?
Sure.
That
I think we saw some of that with Edelman the other day.
That's a major concern.
Well, we saw a lot of passes for first downs that he would take and run for 12 yards. And it was a first down, but it wasn't necessarily a conversion down, like 3rd and whatever.
So you're saying like the pressure of that big a play
right, when it's an obvious passing down?
I think he'll be fine.
I thought he did. I thought he had.
I don't know. I'm just
catches.
Asking.
I mean, I don't.
He might be covered, and he might not have visual. He and Brady might not be on the same page where they know exactly what they're doing on third down to adjust to what a defense is throwing at him because he hasn't been out there for 3 years with Brady like Welker has. But in terms of the ability to run a route, run an adjustment, and make the catch, I think he'll be fine. I'm not saying it's going to be Wes Welker, Tom Brady, but I think he's capable
of
filling the role.
I think he's capable of doing it. Yeah, I do too.
Well, you know, getting open is one of Welker's.
Yes.
You know,
but what I'm
questioning,
like, remember in the Jets game, it was his first game.
Right.
And a couple of times he made some catches and tried to duck away from defenders. And I remember the three of us saying to each other, you know, if that were Welker, he might have been able to get 3, 4,
right,
5 more yards because, you know,
he's slipperier.
Yeah. But at this point, I think Edelman has, I don't know if, well, like Andy said, he's not Wes Welker, but I think he's good enough to get the job done, and I think he's improved in being more elusive.
Right.
But he's not quite as elusive as Welker, but I think he's
done better. I don't know. I'll tell you, you know, forget about hands, because I think Welker obviously has better hands.
Yes.
But I think as far as shiftiness and elusiveness, Edelman showed as much, if not more, in the open field than Welker did on Sunday.
I disagree. I think he's faster than Welker.
He's definitely faster.
I don't think he's shiftier or more elusive.
And I think you could benefit from a big play. Because if Moss takes a safety in a corner deep and he slips underneath and catches one, I think if he keeps running, he has the ability to take it to the house. I think he's fast enough.
And I'll add to Andy's point, I think, and Welker has done this maybe three or four times throughout the course of the season, where he kind of pops free down the seam. I think he had a 28-yarder or a 43-yarder against the Jets, a long one against Miami.
Where he had open space in front of him?
If Edelman has that kind of space, it's touchdown. He'll go. Because I think Welker got caught from behind a couple of times that Edelman won't.
Yeah, remember the punt return he had in preseason?
Yep.
Where he turned on the Jets.
Right.
I don't think Welker has those kind of Jets.
And I don't want to make out, you know, I don't want to make Edelman out to be Randy Moss, and, you know, 5 years ago in terms of top flight speed. He's a 4.5 guy. He's not.
No, but he's faster.
But he's faster than Welker. He's not as quick as Welker, but he's faster than Welker.
No question.
In my opinion, I should say. It's not like that's a proven fact. It's just
a fact.
Anybody
who's watched the two enough, he's faster. I don't care what the stopwatch even tells me. He's faster on the football.
So it sounds to me like it'll be important for Brady to look to Edelman early, because that's when, if there is a slack off in coverage to him, it'll happen. Once he establishes himself with Edelman, they're going to start paying more attention to him. So,
yeah,
you know, the big play opportunity to Edelman will be early if there is one.
Well, he's going to have to create the big play. I mean, the scheme can kind of do it, but he's going to have to beat somebody. There's going to have to be a guy running with him, and he'll have to beat him to turn a corner and to spring it.
But
you're not looking for a big play necessarily.
I agree, hoping he can make
a big play happen.
I agree with your premise, Fred. I think teams are going to say, okay, in this case, just Baltimore, but we're going to have to shut down Randy Moss.
Right.
And if Julian Edelman and Standback and all those other guys beat us, so be it.
Right.
But I think, it'll be early when Welker gets it. Edelman gets a chance to get some.
That's what I think.
That'll be the case for all four quarters. They're not going to change that philosophy. If Edelman beats him, Edelman will beat him, because they're not going to sit there and say, well, I got to devote more attention to Edelman now. There's no way you're going to let Randy Moss.
If he has 10 catches,
then he'll end up with 20.
He'll 20. Now, if he has three,
whether
80
or not
yard
that's enough to win,
maybe that's different. But he has. For as much as Paul and I say he's fast and might be capable of hitting more big plays than Welker, that's all theoretical.
Right, we haven't
seen
it.
That's all hypotheticals. Until he shows he can do that, why would anyone in their right mind focus anything on him when you have one option and it's Randy Moss? That's why I think it's going to be key for him to prove something. I don't think you can win this game with Randy Moss being held to one catch for 15 yards.
Yeah, and you look at the, just look at Welker's season and ask yourself, how many times did you see an opponent really alter how they were covering him throughout a course of a game? Now, some teams did it differently as a game plan.
New Orleans, yeah.
As a game plan, but not during the course of a game. I'm saying, how many times did he come out and catch 8 passes in the first half and end up with 9?
Yeah.
You know, teams say that's the game plan. We're going to have to allow him to catch those passes over the middle and hope we keep him out of the end zone. A lot of times this year, that's been very successful for opponents.
Oh, when the red zone offense was so bad early, that was working.
But really, it's hard. They scored points, I think, when they got more balance, when they were able to run the ball into the end zone, when they were able to run the ball more effectively and have a run-pass option, more so than they did when Welker was having like his 15-catch games and stuff like that. As good as he was, I think teams were saying, we're going to take Randy Moss away and make you try to get it in the end zone some other way. And when they weren't able to do that with the running game, I think they weren't able to do it. Now, down the stretch, they were able to do that with the running game. Maroney had a lot of rushing touchdowns. Almost all of them came from the midway point of the season down to his fumble on the goal line in Jacksonville. I mean, he ended up with 9 touchdowns. I bet you they came in the span of like 11 games.
Yep.
You know, so they did a better job of that, I think, you know, at the halfway point of the season, you know, sort of moving forward. And it'll be interesting to see what happens on Sunday. But I don't think that the Ravens will have a big change if all of a sudden Edelman is catching passes.
Right.
I don't think they'll divert and say, okay, we can't just take Moss out and expect to win. We're going to have to do something else. I think they'll be confident that something else won't be enough to beat them.
Okay, so getting beyond Moss and the slot guy being Edelman, the running game. Who's the third option in this game, do you think? Is it Aiken?
If he's healthy.
Is it the tight ends?
I think it's Aiken if he's healthy.
You think it's Aiken?
It looked like he got banged up on that interception, the last throw Brady made. He was on the sideline right at the Patriots bench.
Yeah.
Our sideline insider says he's okay.
Okay. Well, then I think it's Aiken. I mean, I'm sure Watson will be out there and involved in everything, but, yeah, he is who he is.
Yeah.
Might have to be stand back.
If you're talking in specifically
back.
About a,
back.
A wide receiver.
Wow. No, I'm not.
If you're talking specifically about a wide receiver, I say Aiken. I think it's Kevin Faulk then. If you're just talking who will be the third receiver, the third target, Kevin Faulk is the guy.
I think you're right, and
I
think that's the big reason why they held him out of that game, because they know they're going to need him big time in this game.
Did you listen to Bill Belichick yesterday?
A little bit.
Because I read some quotes that I would like to get someone who heard its opinion on. On the running back situation, he said, we activated the guys who wanted to play. You remember? Not remember hearing that?
No, I don't.
You sure he didn't say we wanted to play? Because that would be a billism.
No, I'm not sure. I'm sure what the quote said. The quote didn't say that.
The quote's wrong.
The quote is wrong.
Bill said we played the guys who we wanted to play.
Did he say it when his mouth was full of food?
That's so terrible.
Yes,
but that's exactly
cookie.
Big difference.
And I didn't hear it on the radio. I only heard it from what Andy said that someone wrote. And the way I looked at it was,
that's unbelievable.
You can very easily say who wanted to play, we wanted to play, and if you substitute that word, that's exactly the way Bill would say it. Because no one uses more words to say absolutely nothing than Bill does. You know, by the way, the press conference today, did you hear it at all before the show?
No, I didn't.
Oh, it was.
Andy, you'll be glad to know that once again, the TV news stations felt it necessary to break out the big guns and bring a news reporter.
Right.
Oh, we were talking about that on the bus
to ask,
home.
To ask the really tough questions from Belichick, because we once again can't get to the bottom of an issue.
Talk
with
about
Wes
that,
Welker.
Paul. Explain that.
Well, a lot of times, like Spygate, when Spygate came around and it was a very little in terms of information coming out. No, I'm talking about news reporters, not sports reporters. There's a difference.
Which station? Who?
Byron Barnett from Channel 7, I believe.
The guy I was thinking of.
Yeah. Well, he was the guy who did the same thing for Spygate.
Yep.
You know, like when Spygate was coming around, and evidently the answers of we're moving on to San Diego a thousand ways weren't sufficient for the news reporters, so they had to bring out a real, quote-unquote, real reporter. Well, to be honest with you, I don't really understand the scope of this anyway. I mean, the guy got hurt. I mean, listen, it's a devastating injury. We were all in a fog for about 2.5 quarters in that game, all four of us, after Welker went down. I'm not trying to minimize it, you know, in any way. It's a devastating injury.
Right.
But it's not Brady. It's Welker.
Right.
Okay? I don't mean that disrespectfully, Andy.
Saying.
I'm talking about it was the A-block story on the national evening news that night. I can't believe that. On Monday. I mean, do you believe that?
Wait, on what?
On the local news, Channel 7, Channel 4, when we got back Sunday night.
Welker's injury was A-block?
A-block news.
Oh, boy.
That's
okay,
stupid.
So they've completely overblown the injury, first of all. Like I said, I don't mean any disrespect, but it's not Brady. And it wouldn't just be a quarterback either. Brady is an icon.
That's just ridiculous.
Okay, if...
Who's making those decisions?
I don't know. But anyway...
The only reason I could see that is because... It's like a playoff preview kind of thing. They were already scheduled to do an A-block hit about the Patriots and the playoffs.
Was it a tease for sports, though, more? Than
no.
A full,
it was probably a live shot,
series.
Right?
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, and they talked about it.
So they shrink the sports segment of the news, but anytime there's a little blip, it becomes the lead story on the news?
Yes. And it wasn't a playoff preview because they went back and did a full report in sports on a playoff preview. It was a Welker story.
So I'm just saying.
Could somebody pour me a Coke?
I'm just saying it could have been.
Pour him a Coke because he wants me to tell this Byron by now.
They already,
anyway.
They might have already had it planned to have an A-block hit, and then they just switched. All right, we'll put the preview in sports, and we'll do Welker in the A-block.
I'll take your word for it because,
I don't know if you know Eric worked in TV
that's
news.
That's one of the many avenues that you tried before you got to this one.
I usually go with the word failed somewhere
see,
in that sentence.
See, I specifically left that word out, but I knew that Andy wouldn't let me down.
Truth is open to shots.
But anyway, he came in and said, just could you comment on Wes Welker's injury and, you know, how the team's going to move forward, you know, how the team responds to that. we're on to Baltimore.
I love it.
We've discussed.
So we've already discussed
thanks,
it.
Thanks for coming.
We've already discussed that we're on to Baltimore.
Right.
Well, just you know, could you talk about Wes Welker? You know, and just you know what he's meant to the team, and you know, just you know, so, you know what the team plans to do. You know, so basically, in different words and different inflection, the same exact question. We're on to Baltimore. We've discussed that already. Well, just as a follow-up to that.
You mean you don't want to talk about Wes Welker?
Just as a follow-up to that, I think you tried four questions, at least three.
I think it was
three.
About four. Yeah,
as a follow-up to that, well, that's what the fans, and I love when the questioners fall back on the fans because, right. You know, don't blame me for asking this question over and over again. It's the fans who want to know. No, actually, if you had a pulse of Patriots Nation, you'd know the Patriots fans love Belichick. They don't want to put him in tough spots. They don't want to have him on the hot seat. They want to move on. That's what Patriots fans do. They're ready for the playoffs. Patriots fans aren't ready to sit there and cry in their milk at this point. Maybe on Sunday they were, but now it's Tuesday. They have a playoff game coming up on Sunday. So he was all over it, and Bill just completely smacked them down.
Good.
Well, we've talked about it, you know, and I think he may have said at one point, hey, you know, Wes is a great player or something like that.
Yeah, he said the other day.
He refused to give him what he wanted. He wanted that 30-second soundbite on how great Wes Welker is and how difficult of a loss it's going to be for the team. And Bill doesn't talk like that. Bill doesn't use those terms.
Right.
He's not going to sit there and say, well, geez, we're going to have a hard time overcoming that loss. Bill won't do it.
Right.
But I love when the news guys come because we don't ask the right questions.
Right.
You know, that's why we didn't get
they
it post-game.
They felt the need to do that.
That's why the seven different ways we asked it post-game weren't enough for the news guys, I guess. But, you know, how can you let him get away with that? That's the impression that I get
Let's
when they talk about
Byron. He'll get it out.
When they talk about the toy box that is the sports department, you know, I love that.
Paul with a Fred-like rant there.
Yeah,
wow,
it was a Fred-like rant because that was one that used to really.
It was annoying.
It really bothered us in sports at the Herald. Like, you know, it's like I said, you know, the whole sports department was there every night until 3 a.m. But on election night, you know, there was 28 free pizzas coming
in for
the news desk, you know, because they had to put in a tough night's work. It was unbelievable.
Wow. Wow.
And end of rant.
It's like those who can work in news, you know. So, okay, so Belichick, other than shooting down Byron Barnett, anything else did he have to say today? And we want to talk about what he said yesterday.
Anything else did he have to say today?
Well,
Yoda has
can
taken
I just say this before
show.
Before Eric fills you in on the rest, let me just say that we then proceeded to ask a whole bunch of terrible questions.
No, but
you personally?
No, we
of course not.
No, the
no,
media
but I will
as a
say
whole.
I'm glad I didn't ask a question about 3 weeks ago that about blessing in disguise, Fred Taylor, Sammy Morris. You know, not that was asked a couple different ways and completely shot down.
Can I get a Coke?
I don't have any. There aren't any cups over
Evidently,
here.
Evidently, Eric couldn't hook you up, so I will.
Those are actually soup bowls.
I didn't see them over there. Yeah, they're that.
They're
down there. Sorry,
we keep our clean cups on the floor.
A question came up about filling the roster spot, or making any roster moves, and of course, he gave the standard: do what's best for the football team.
Right.
Yada yada.
Were there any specific Darnell Jenkins questions?
There were not. No. We went on to
nobody other than us knows the name.
No, there were some Ravens questions and, you know, why you moved the off day from Tuesday to Monday and how that affects planning for
this
week. And he said they had figured that out last week that they were going to do that,
right,
that they were going to take Monday off because they didn't know if they were going to be playing this coming Saturday or Sunday. So they figured let's just plan to take Monday off. If we play Saturday, it'll be a normal week. And if not, we'll have an extra day to prepare kind of thing. A little bit about, you know, advising players, the young players who haven't been in the playoffs about how important these games are and if playoff experience matters for the older guys and all that kind of stuff. A couple of more questions about, you know, the turf at Reliant Stadium and Julian Edelman, and he would have none of it from anybody. It didn't matter who asked the question. He just didn't want to get
into
the
topic. We're on to Baltimore.
Yeah.
Oh, that was the other follow-up that the Tough News reporter asked. You're right.
Badass Byron. What's his last name?
Barnett.
Yeah. Badass Byron Barnett.
Yeah. After the three Welker shootdowns, he said, well, you were up pretty outspoken about the field conditions at Reliant Stadium. We're on to Baltimore.
Oh, nice.
It was great.
Great. Thanks
and
for
then,
coming.
For some reason, all the
they
Globe
just
guys.
They wasted a tank of gas.
All the Globe guys were in their office when the press conference started, and they missed all of that. And then Chris Gasper asked, you know, several questions later about the
But he did say it wasn't just about the field conditions. He did say, is there any recourse that you can take in terms of with the league, or if you think it's unplayable or something like that?
Which I thought
like
was
that.
A legitimate question.
It was a legitimate question, but
he would have none of it.
We're on to Baltimore.
Yeah. Breaking news out of Bristol. Teddy Bruschi picking the Patriots to beat the Ravens on wild card.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Okay. All right. AFC wild card
and the
team.
Jets.
The, he picked the Jets to win and says they're the most likely wild card team to reach the Super Bowl.
Wow. These things really are huge.
Because that's because defense.
Defense, right.
Defense wins championships.
Right. I think they're the least likely.
I do, too.
I do, too, because
you don't have a quarterback.
A bad quarterback is most likely to lose championships.
Right. At some point, it's going to be third and ten. And they don't have an answer.
Plus, when you're playing the Jets, you can afford to be patient on offense.
Ooh.
You know, that's a game where the Patriots can really commit to the run because they know they're going to get a lot of three and outs from Sanchez. So it's a good game for something like that. You know, it's not like the Colts where you got to maximize every offensive opportunity. You don't have to do that against the Jets.
We're going to have a fun week because we got playoffs coming and four games to talk about and stuff, but they're such a tenuous existence, the Jets. And listen, forget about the backing into the playoffs or whatever. They had to win the games, and they did it. I think it stinks that two teams rolled over for them. But just playing that style, it hangs by a thread. What happens if you get, like, two holding calls in the first half? That, you know what that means? It means you get shut out in the first half.
Right.
Because that's how little margin for error they have.
It's true.
They need 3 yards here, 4 yards there, and be able to run or pass on third down. All it takes is one holding call, and that drive is over. Because they don't have any way to move the ball consistently through the air. And if they do, you're going to have happen what happened to Sanchez here.
Yeah.
You know, he cost his team a game. That's going to happen in the playoffs.
Yeah.
When they're playing good teams, Cincinnati is not going to let them run up and down the field the way they did in that game Sunday night. They may win the game. The Jets may find a way to win the game. I don't think they will. I'd be picking Cincinnati in that game, but they're not going to run up and down the field. It was like third and four, and they're just running off tackle like it was no one's business in that game. Did you watch that?
And Cincinnati's supposed to have a pretty good run defense, right?
No one played.
Yeah, they didn't play.
Right. The guy with the red ponytail.
Those Tongans and Samoans, tough guys up front.
Yeah.
Fred, has your opinion about resting players changed?
No.
In the wake of Welker's
injury?
Absolutely
not.
Mine hasn't either.
Absolutely. Nor has mine. No. Well, if you remember from last week, mine was to leave Welker, Moss, and Brady at home.
Right.
See, mine hasn't changed either. I would play the guys who were healthy, and I would sit the guys that are hurt.
Right. But
we didn't do that.
But now we get into the story of the use of Brady, and what was that all about? You know, taking him out for the last two series, putting him back in until the last series of the game when you have a chance to tie it, then taking him out again. I mean, Belichick said we didn't have a plan.
A number of times he said.
We were just going to play the game as we saw fit.
But he's been consistent, in the preseason. He's used his backup quarterback like that. That, you know, strange situations, get out there. You know, you're on your goal line, get out there. We need a two-minute drive, get out there. So that aspect of this, he treated it like a preseason game. But the other aspect of it, he treated it like a game he was trying to win with Brady and Moss. And so that's where I think the confusion is. That led to those theories post-game that when Welker went down, they decided they needed to learn how to play offense without Wes Welker. And they were using that as
a
teaching
theory.
Time and all that.
Yep.
I don't know if that, but I just think it was weird that he would say so many times, there was no set plan. I said to Paul, don't they work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week preparing for these games so that they have a set plan for everything?
Right.
And to come out and say a number of times there was no set plan.
No, I agree. I think the plan was to get Hoyer in there and to have him play the bulk of the game. But I think Paul disagrees with me, and you know, I was doing the blog and people were like, Fred, where are you? It's because I'm having three conversations at once. One with myself, one with Paul, and one with the bloggers. But I really think that the Welker injury changed everything, and when they went in at halftime, they decided,
let's keep going.
You know, I don't
disagree with that. I disagree with your reason for that. I agree with Andy's reason for that.
Well, I think
it changed everything because they needed to get work.
They
now.
Might have. Yeah,
your saying came true. Conditions on the ground changed.
Well, it did, but I also think
you're saying Brady yelled at Belichick and made him put.
I don't think
in the
he
game.
Yelled at him, but I think as a team they said, you know what, we're not going to have Wes Welker go down for the season, and then okay, let's take a seat now and not play. You know, it's just almost like, you know, one of our best leaders gets hurt, and now we're going to play it safe. I don't think they had the stomach for that.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, I don't either. No, I don't know.
Andy made
That's
a good
my
point.
Instinct, though.
Andy made a good
I would
point.
Feel guilty if I was Tom Brady or Randy Moss or anyone that had respect for Wes Welker on that team to say, okay, now it's time for me to play it safe.
But this gets back to the coach makes the decision. He has to at all times.
But
just like Bill Polian or whoever made the decision, big picture.
I think this was a team decision.
Yeah, when players lobby and they overrule the coach, you have anarchy.
I don't think they overruled him. I don't think he was overruled.
But he changed his
opinion. I think he agreed with it.
Okay, well, that's possible that he decided the conditions on the ground changed.
Oh, I don't think there was an argument. I'm not saying there was an argument. I'm saying someone suggested
it. I don't think there would be an argument.
I'm saying someone suggested it, and Bill said, you're right, let's do it.
How do you know he's not the one that didn't suggest it?
I'm not – maybe he was.
I just think that
we're doing a lot of speculating.
We are. It's all speculation.
But you have to, and that's why, Fred, this is 2 weeks in a row. I think it's you had a home run in your edit letter. Mm-hmm. And Andy made a good point when we were walking out.
Or you struck out.
Right.
You're totally wrong.
No, but
it's a big swing.
But I said,
it's not about being right or wrong. No, it's about, and Andy, the way you put it, coming out of the stadium the other night when we were leaving, Andy said, I love when Fred puts himself out there. I mean,
I do.
You always think that we're making fun of you.
No.
We're not always making fun of you. Only about 80% of the time.
Oh, boy.
And the other 20%
to the cabbie.
But you had nothing, you had no fact. You didn't have talk to Bill or anything or have a reason for it. It was something, a feeling that you got during the course of the game, and you weren't afraid to put it out there. I disagree with it. Right. But I don't think it's impossible. I just think, like Andy alluded to, this is a guy who prepares for everything. And you're telling me that a guy getting hurt on the first play of the game changed his mindset? Now, if you want to say that he said the guy getting hurt made me have to play him a little bit more because I got to get Edelman ready.
Right.
That's understandable. That's not an emotional decision.
Right.
That's a logical decision.
Yep.
And I think that Bill isn't about emotional Bill Cowher, like, I'm going
for it.
You don't
think fourth and two was an emotional decision?
No, I think he analytically looked at it and said, my defense can't hold up.
But, Paul, using your theory that Bill Belichick
doesn't make me right, by the way.
No, I'm not asking you that.
Okay, I'm just
I know you always think you're right.
I don't want to
I always think you're wrong. That's why the show is great. But why, if you needed Edelman reps in the offense, right, why didn't you need Edelman reps with Randy Moss and Tom Brady in a 2-minute drive to win a game, just like you might have to do in the postseason? Why then does it go to Brian Hoyer's drive?
My answer there is, you saw the series before when they just, threw the house at Brady. Now I think the senses and said, they came to their senses and said, look, this is enough. It's enough.
But it's the same thing. They're going to throw the house at Brady in the playoff game, and Edelman's going to have to get that hot read, and he's going to have to make that catch. And
true.
If it's a teaching game, I find it.
I know.
You just cut it off short right at the very end.
See, I think all of the different scenarios and speculations that we can come up with, any number of them may be plausible. I don't really agree with any of them.
Yeah,
I think that the wisest course of action would have been, I have these guys who are injured. It's not like Peyton Manning.
Right.
If you want to continue the Colts, it's not like these guys. Yeah, he might be banged up, Peyton Manning, but he's not hurt.
Right.
Brady's hurt.
Right.
He's hurt in some way. Even he said yesterday, everybody's dealing with broken bones. I don't know if he's one of those guys dealing with them, but he said it.
He's one of everybody.
And who knows what broken, if it's the finger, if it's the ribs,
the shoulder,
the knee, the shoulder. I don't know. But he had pre-existing problems. Randy Moss supposedly has been dealing with a bad back all year and had limited practice time. And I don't know the answer to this question, but does anybody know if this is the knee injury that Welker?
I do not know.
No one has concluded whether or not this is the same
knee.
No
one ever knew what the knee injury was if it was the same knee.
Right.
Right.
So if that's the case, I think that you just, discretion plays the better part of
valor.
I agree with
you, Paul. I think that was the course to take. Even I, Mr. Competition was saying, at the most you play Brady for a half.
Paul, you're talking about the same knee that Welker had in the beginning
camp
of the year?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He missed two games.
I know. I'm trying to remember.
And I remember saying,
because we
knee
saw him
injuries
on the side,
don't generally get better during the course of
but
a season.
But did he miss two games because of the knee or the ribs?
Well,
he had a rib injury. He took a big hit on a punt in the preseason,
I
believe. And he talked later in a feature about that was one of the most painful injuries I've ever dealt with. So I still don't know what he missed
but
games
I think,
with.
I think he missed the game because of the knee, though.
I thought he was on the injury report for a knee injury. But
this is where I cut ties with injury reports.
Well, because we saw him on the sidelines.
I think he had a knee
injury. We saw him on the sidelines
also,
against the Jets, and he had one of those black sleeves on his leg. And
I'm not disputing whether he ever had a knee injury. I'm disputing he may have missed some time with the rib issue, too. Because in a feature, I believe Bert Breer did a feature on him avoiding big hits. Mm-hmm. He said the rib thing was one of the most painful things he's ever dealt with. So I didn't. That made me wonder, well, did you miss time with a knee? Or did the rib pop up in there at some point? You missed time with that. That's all I was wondering.
But going back to what Paul said, I agree with Paul about what they should have been thinking, and I wouldn't have played Brady in the second half. That's why I think that Welker injury changed everything, and it was an emotional decision that they made at halftime to say, you know what, we need to stay out there.
Well, see, I hope it's not emotional. I hope it's more analytical.
But I think it was just like, you know, we're not going to just sit down now after, you know, one of our...
But aren't you more upset about that?
No, I'm not.
As a fan, I would be more upset to find out it was...
No, I'm not, because
irrational, emotional.
Right. I don't think
of,
it was irrational. I didn't say it was irrational.
Caught up in the moment. Well, to me,
if it's emotional, it's irrational.
To me, if you played because of that, that's irrational.
If you go against a plan because of emotion, that's irrational.
Well, I plan to rest these guys because they're a little banged up and just give them a cameo.
Right.
But one of the guys got hurt, so now emotion's taken over. I can't go out like that. I have to play them. That to me is irrational.
Well, I think that, you know, I think it was. Again, it could be a bonding moment. Now, they lost the game. It would have been a lot better if they had actually won the game. But I think that, you know, we are a team. You know, we're going to do this. We're going to fight. I think it helps. You know, rather than sit on the bench and sulk, oh, we lost for the rest of the game, we're going to keep in this game. Emotionally, we're going to keep in this game. It's going to mean something.
But isn't it worse if you keep in the game and lose?
No. I think it's worse if you sit there for a whole game and worry about,
but,
you know, bemoan the fact that you just lost your one of your favorite teammates.
See, I don't know. Better the world to think you're not going to be as good without Welker, or better show them you're not as good without Welker.
What about the fact that they lost yet another double-digit lead in the fourth quarter on the road?
That's huge.
I think they took big hits psychologically.
Yeah. But
and that's a different tune, by the way, and another one of our arguments that ensued late in the fourth quarter. I'm like,
he was on edge, because there were comments I made during that game that normally would get a shut up fat mouth, and he just laughed uncontrollably. So I knew he was an emotional wreck inside and didn't know how to react.
Well, like I said, I was having three conversations, one in the blog, one with you guys, and one with myself.
Right.
He was, and I had the pleasure, the rare pleasure of sitting next to him in the press box, which I haven't really done that very often.
Rare
beautiful
pleasure.
Press box.
No, but just because our
I don't
banter.
Know about the field, but the rest of that stadium is nice.
Because I enjoyed our banter. I enjoyed our disagreement. Because it wasn't like we were like at each other's throats. We were just disagreeing.
We even had Bilo with us.
We were probably more loud than we thought we were, too. I don't think we realized how loud we were. Because I was talking at the top of my voice.
I think that's the case every week, Fred, wherever we go.
No.
I think we are.
I think you'd be surprised when we're at home and we think we're three levels above how much people probably hear of
us. See, that's what I don't know. Because I don't think we speak very loudly. I don't think we speak very loudly in the press box at home, but I think the fact that we're above everybody, they could probably hear us.
Maybe.
Doc holds up that Welker was listed with a knee injury in week two.
Yes, I know what he was listed with. I want to know
what
hurt.
We just don't know what he actually was injured with.
We have some other issues we should probably get to. One of them is the field conditions.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Another one is also, you talked about the defense giving up a lead. Dean Pease apparently had some issues. With
left
his
the game
heartbeat
short, left the game in the third quarter.
If
you want to be rosy about that, by the way, Freddie.
Yeah.
Left the game in the third quarter. They got 21 in the fourth quarter without a defensive coordinator.
See,
we
stink without our coach, but who doesn't?
Right. Well, I talked to
whether or not
some
the
Patriots insiders
that,
yesterday,
know.
And you know,
he's been doing a lot of talking to a lot of sources.
He's felt, you know, some shortness of breath. Mm-hmm. Talked to somebody about it, and they said, "Hey, look. Why don't you just go?"
Safe than
he didn't
sorry.
Want to go.
Better safe than sorry.
Yeah, they convinced him to go. He walked out on his own power. They drove him to the hospital.
Yep.
He feels fine. They didn't find anything. So that's the good news. We shouldn't be like, oh, my God.
I know. But
in fact, I was told that, you know what, if it was a playoff game, he probably wouldn't even have gone.
Wow.
You know, he probably would have insisted on staying.
Well, but... See, you know, there's where you get.
It was
where
his choice.
Well, I know, but there's where you tread a line between worrying about your health and worrying about
right. But that's
your job.
Every individual's own decision. This was his decision.
Sure.
He was strongly urged to go, and but he didn't have to go.
Did he stay the hospital?
Yeah, he stayed. Well, he stayed in Houston. He didn't stay overnight at the hospital.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So he flew home the next day.
But just to be safe, they kept him?
I don't know if they kept him in the hospital.
No, I mean, he didn't rush to come home.
No, I don't know if it was a flight thing. It would have been easier to fly home in the morning. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but he flew home on Monday.
How about the field conditions? Bill was obviously very outspoken.
Bill was really outspoken about it.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
You know, I don't see why he wouldn't. I don't see why he would say that unless he really strongly felt that way.
Well, but is it chance. Not emotion? I mean, you lost one of your best players
well,
on the field.
Well, he said it the next day, though. That, you know, it was over 24 hours afterwards. So it wasn't like in the heat of the – he didn't say it after the game. He said it the next evening on EEI.
Right.
So he had time to think about it and cool off.
Yeah. You know? I still think there's a window of emotion there that is left open even a full day
but
afterwards.
But something made him think that way. You know,
well, we walked across the field.
Yeah.
We had to do it to get back to the buses
right.
after
you
the game.
You were cutting. I saw you making cuts.
But yes, exactly.
Here's what we don't get to see, though, walking across. And you walked across, too, right. I would assume, right? That's how we all had
I
to get out.
I didn't walk across.
You didn't walk that way?
Well, where we had to go to we the had interview to, rooms afterwards, we
yeah,
had to,
I didn't go across.
We had to cross the field.
There didn't seem to be any problems whatsoever with the surface. But
it was soggy, though.
What
like
Bill had talked about.
Definitely was soggy.
Was that it was different in squares.
Right.
You know,
right,
there was different patches, and we don't, you know, when you're just walking across, you can't
well,
see
the
that.
Problem with those indoor grass fields is the sun, they don't get enough sun, and it never dries out fully. Remember?
But that one's outside.
When we played at Reliant in the Super Bowl, remember how humid it got
it
at the end of that
really,
game?
It was really, really hot.
It was very humid, and the grass got slippery. Remember
but they
that?
Take that field out, you know.
In trays, they
yes,
do.
But it stays out in the parking lot.
But if it goes in moist, it doesn't dry.
You're such a child.
really am. I can't help it.
I thought it too.
No,
you got to admit it.
But you didn't laugh out loud.
Parts of it will stay hard, and other parts.
Jesus.
Well, the end zones were soggy.
I think the biggest issue is the lack of uniformity because of the tray system. The chance that different sections of sod have different densities and moistures.
Yeah.
And, you know, one guy I think would be on board with this would be Arian Foster, who had what looked like a 40-yard touchdown run end when he
just
tripped
fell
on
down.
The 40.
Yeah.
The 4 and the 40. So I got to think he hit a slick spot.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, we saw
was a problem in that game.
It certainly was. Question. And we saw from the press box level, we could see where there were different.
Oh, yeah, all the different shades of green.
Little shades of green from
different
the end
grasses.
Zone to the little, like, there were certain parts where they were like, it looked like just squares of new sod that they put in because there was whatever from the bowl game the other day.
Right.
But it's the same sort of principle at University of Phoenix Stadium.
Right.
But in Arizona,
they
pull the whole field outside.
That on, that's on like a track.
And that's the whole field.
Right.
They run,
that's the whole field.
And
there's no
things dry in Phoenix like,
right.
Like, you know,
because
nobody's
it's
business.
Because it's a dry heat.
It's a dry heat.
You're
right.
It is.
It's not a dry heat in Houston?
No.
Yeah.
But it was definitely.
It's a humid heat.
It was a bad surface, but I don't think by any stretch of the imagination it was the worst surface I've ever seen.
No.
I mean, I can think of.
You've played.
Oh, no, Fred. Oh, but Fred, you've been around.
The last game they played here before the field turf was installed was that Miami game where there was sand all over the place.
You
there
can't
was
get
chunks
a worse
of field,
field
coming up.
That was
horrible.
That was terrible.
You can't get a worse
playing
surface than we had before.
And that's kind of what I wanted to get to is Bill said you'd think at this level we could get a certain type of, you know, caliber of field.
That's why I think it was
and I think
of
that's
squad.
A little
well, basically, the Patriots were forced to replace that.
That's my point. You had a crappy field until the league told you can't have a crappy field anymore.
But okay. But they told us we had a crappy field and we replaced it.
But
I don't
Andy,
think
Andy's saying
that's
crappy. Where the emotion of Welker's
he
injury
used to
came
like
into
having a crappy field, and now he's mad because he lost one of his best players on a crappy
field. And I would even argue that we didn't do that because the league told us to do it. We did it because we lost a game.
But you're missing out what he was saying. Maybe he liked having a field that he could manipulate, but if you're the league, this is what he's talking about. If you're the league and you're always talking about player safety, okay, you should overrule me. You should overrule.
I think he's saying that now because he was
should
overruled.
You should not let a Bill Belichick take advantage
That's
of.
That's my point. The only reason he's talking is because he got beat down, and now he's mad about it.
Well,
I
you're beat me down, beat somebody else
but
down.
But he makes a good point.
Well, he does make a good point.
If you're the league.
You should
be interested in
control
this.
Over the fields, and the fields should be within 10% in either
direction
of
the same. I was
saying
earlier, you know, we all make fun of FIFA, the organizing body of soccer. You know, they insist on
FIFA. I've never made fun of them, I don't think.
I just make fun of soccer.
A lot of people.
No, FIFA's fault.
They think FIFA thinks it's God, which it does in soccer, but they insist on a certain type of caliber of field.
They should,
for a reason.
Which is why they put grass here at Gillette now whenever they play a soccer
exactly.
game.
Exactly. They have to put down grass
international
when they have an international soccer
right.
game.
As they should.
You know, one that's sanctioned by FIFA.
Because FIFA is looking out for the welfare of elite athletes, multi-million dollar athletes from all countries.
And should not the NFL feel the same way?
I would think.
As Belichick said, it starts with the field. Bill Belichick isn't in – that's not his job. That's the league's job. If you know, if they're going to allow me to manipulate the injury report, I'm going to manipulate the injury report. That's not my job to, you know, overrule myself.
But the difference is, I don't think Houston had any manipulating. They may have a surface he doesn't like, a style.
I'm not saying that they did, and I don't think he's saying they did.
They also
either.
Had a bowl game there.
Exactly.
2 days, 3 days
I'm
earlier.
I'm not saying he – I think this was a message to the league. He was not saying that the Texans screwed us.
I don't think he would have said it if Wes Welker hadn't gotten hurt.
I agree with that.
That's my point.
No,
I think it's tied in directly to a guy get hurt.
I don't think anybody would be saying that the field conditions were bad if Welker didn't get hurt.
The players didn't afterwards. They all said it was a little slick, but it wasn't that bad.
You guys are assuming he's saying the Texans wanted it that way.
No, that's not what we're saying. We're saying he was emotional because he lost Welker.
And I don't think the field conditions were anywhere near as bad as he described them as.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Players made light of it afterwards.
And I'm not using...
Not made light of it, but
they
downplayed it.
Well, they told not to make excuses.
I think they would have said it sucked.
If Bill had followed suit, like he did about Welker, clearly Bill told the players, I don't want anybody talking specifically about the loss of Welker. And only one guy that I know of disobeyed that.
Sorry, Bill.
And that was Sean Springs. But every single guy said, you know, I don't know the extent of what happened. No one would even say they knew that Welker was out long term.
Right. Yeah.
No one would say it. They all said, well, you know.
Edelman said,
we'll
I don't even know what happened to him.
I don't even know what happened to him.
Dallas Thomas said, if we miss him, we'll miss him.
That rule isn't just for Welker.
No, but
that rule is for injuries.
No.
You don't talk about injuries.
Exactly, Fred. Right. And here's my point. If Bill had told them not to talk about the field conditions, he wouldn't have gone on the next day and berated them.
That's I agree with that, Paul.
That's my point. If Bill had followed suit and said, well, you know, the field is the field. You have no control over
right.
that. Then I would say, well, maybe that field condition was a big problem.
Steady saying, somebody should have control over that.
Right. And I also, I don't know all the backroom dealings of what happened back in the middle of 2006 when we made the change, but I don't think the league made us do that. I think we lost a game that was directly a result of a bad team beating us on a bad field.
Well,
the Jets came here. They were nowhere near as good
league,
as we were.
The league
and we lost because of that
turf.
Field.
The league did not make
the league
Patriots
made
put
us replace the middle section
right.
for the playoffs
right.
in the past.
And then the Patriots said, you know what? Because of all the stuff we have going on here, concerts and what we could be doing if we had turf, let's open
really?
The wallet and put down turf. And that's
See,
why
I don't think
they
the
did
league
it.
Made us do that because the league was on us for a long time about the condition of our field,
and
we never did anything about it until we lost to a shit bum team. Sorry about that.
Whoa, Paul!
Sorry about that.
What are you doing?
It's been a while.
Wow.
It's been a while.
No, but
I apologize
a thousand times. The league did force
but I hate the
Patriots.
The Jets. You see what happens?
The league did force the Patriots to replace the middle, and they would continue to do that every time the field
Sorry,
got into
Doc.
A bad
right.
condition, especially. You know, when the playoffs came rolling around. So, that was part of the decision. Part of the decision was let's maximize that field by putting something that's multi-use on.
See, I'm not sure how much of a – I think if Bill wanted it to still be a natural surface that changed, it would be. I think Paul's right. Whether he was forced to or not, I think Bill had to decide. I'm not sure.
Well, Bill also said yesterday that he wouldn't want the entire league to be mandated to use field turf.
Yeah, they shouldn't.
No, they shouldn't.
There's already enough complaints starting to bubble up about that sooner or later they're going to hate
that.
But
I think he's saying that there should be a minimum level of
but what's that?
Playability. I don't know, and he doesn't know either.
Does a scientist have to come out pregame with a density meter and jam it in?
But
the more things that get talked about,
I know,
the more I think it's
right,
just solid.
It'll be all over
the
show.
In the name of player
safety,
which everyone says is number one.
But there's certain things you can't control.
But that wasn't an unsafe field.
Right. How many games have you seen where we've seen – wide receivers, running backs, just falling down for no reason.
A lot.
Right. And how many times did you see it in that game? A couple times, maybe?
I don't know.
Fact that you don't know means it wasn't that bad.
But I thought footing was an issue at times in the game. But
at times, but it wasn't the worst thing
like
ever
game.
Seen.
Where I agree with your
I saw
first
Chad
point.
Johnson warming up and fall down on field turf.
I see it every single game. But yet, I don't see at the end of the game a coach
the last time I heard this
the field conditions.
Was, I told you guys, in Carolina... They had terrible fields. We were there in the preseason, and there was a big issue.
Carolina or Tennessee?
Carolina.
Really?
Dan Morgan broke his leg, and people said that was because of the turf. and there was a big uproar
that was one
in
of the
phase
that
we
I
were
ever walked
no
on.
Garbage.
Oh, that was
torn
so
to shreds.
Nice when I was down there.
It wouldn't hold together, and there was talk then because a guy broke his leg, but few and far between when people talk about, save for the old turf, when they had like baseball fields and seams and
well, like
that
Miami,
veterans field.
Miami
but,
now.
Yeah. Miami right. now is awful. Yeah.
But for the most part, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Both, you know, Bill says both teams play on it.
Right.
No, but, only both teams play on it when Revere Beach is in between the hashes.
But I don't think he was talking about they had an advantage because of the field.
No, he was talking about Wes Welker got hurt.
Player
because
safety
of it.
In general in the league
yeah,
I, worrying about
it. If Wes hadn't gotten hurt, I agree with Andy. This not would not
Never
have been an issue
come
in
up.
Bill's mind.
I'll tell you what.
Never
I said this
come
upstairs.
Up. No
I think an issue is cleats. Whenever there's a slick field, they go to more cleats, the interchangeable ones, and I think they put the longer ones in. In
right.
high school, there are rules limiting how long the cleat can be
right.
because it's a danger issue. Your foot gets stuck in the ground.
Right.
What happened to Wes Welker's foot? It looked like it got stuck in the ground a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, it did.
And when that happens, to me, that's a player safety.
That
Maybe
way.
They need to do some right. research on the
Maybe.
Length and types of cleats that are used because they cause injury. I didn't hear Bill saying that.
That's another thing, and I watched this a lot yesterday. I watched the play. Right. His foot didn't come out from under him.
Right.
His foot stuck.
Right.
That's what we're saying.
And that's
right?
why I'm saying maybe
no,
he
I'm
had
backing
a,
up your point.
The inch long or whatever the
so
interchangeable
wouldn't,
is.
Wouldn't a bad field be a big slice of turf comes up underneath
well,
you?
No, but Paul, what
to...
he's saying is if you have a certain type of cleat for a certain type of
no,
turf
no.
and
I'm
every other
about,
patch is different,
I'm talking
what
about
do
the,
you do?
Right.
I'm talking about the field condition itself.
Well, Bill's complaint was the lack of uniformity, that mm-hmm. the different sections
right.
were different.
It wasn't all slippery or
it was soggy out on the edges.
So you couldn't have one cleat that would work.
Right.
You know, you'd
but
have
my
to...
point is, wouldn't you, well, you never know. You're dealing with a hypothetical. I'm just saying, wouldn't his foot have stuck regardless of the cleat that he's wearing if that patch was bad? Like, I don't.
Yeah, but maybe on another part of the field, he would have been fine. I don't know.
Well, no, I'm saying if he had a 3/4 inch instead of an inch and whatever it is,
he might have
the extra
out.
Pressure.
Right.
The deeper you go, the more stick you get.
You might right. be right, but I think that you'd be more. I think you'd be more. Within your right to question the field conditions if you saw one of those big slices of turf divot come up where
yeah.
you know
well,
you can look and see.
I don't know about that. I mean, I think the system is kind of quizzical. Having seams and all these coming
right.
together and
for natural
that
grass.
Seems like yeah. it would lead to issues.
Yeah.
That's the part I agree with Bill is a little weird.
And they have to do that because they have the rodeo in there. They take that out and there's a dirt floor underneath there and that's where the rodeo is.
No, I think they have to do it for what you said. It would,
well,
it would, they wouldn't be able to keep it a green field.
That's part of it, but they
wouldn't
have
get enough sun.
I mean, they've got 2,000-pound bulls running around that place. There's no way you could do it on top of, you know.
Right.
And I don't understand why they have that stuff at Reliant anyway. They should have it just at the Astrodome.
That's how they got their funding, Paul. Part of their funding was because they were going to – the rodeo is a bigger deal there than the Texans.
Oh, I'm not saying I don't know why they have rodeos.
There's a big building next
but
door.
But there's a huge building right next door.
But you're saying the rodeo people agreed to put up some money because they were going to be playing in a better venue.
And Houston agreed to help fund it because that's where the rodeo
right.
was going to be.
So instead of playing in the old broken down building, they
right.
want to be in the brand new building.
Yeah.
But,
all right, we might need to reel this back in. I don't know where we're going.
No, it's just
we're talking rodeo playoff week.
Well, it's just interesting.
It's a bunch of bull.
I said that.
I thought Bill.
Right, let's do this in the tunnel
when we were going to the game.
I thought the fact that Bill was as outspoken about it made that a very interesting topic.
Well, the other thing that
Bill's
he was
really,
outspoken
really
about,
liked
and
that.
I love this, is when he. Before the game, and I happen to be watching because I got a new digital TV, by
Which
the way, for
great.
Christmas.
Oh, remind me to add something about this. Go ahead.
I got a digital TV for Christmas, and now what I do is I set it up next
portable
to me on game day, and I listen to the broadcast so I can – I never used to be able to do that. So
there was actually a fourth conversation in your head.
Right.
It was
right.
the commentators.
Not to mention the voices that he has
right.
in his head that aren't really his own.
Right.
right.
Kevin Harlan,
so,
some other guy he's never heard before.
So I'm listening to the CBS broadcast, and they have insider Charlie Casserly saying that he has inside knowledge that Tom Brady has been playing with 3 broken ribs. So immediately that goes across the wire. Everybody's talking about it.
Yep.
Shalise Mansa Young comes out with a story that – she knows that that rib injury was caused by the Albert Haynesworth hit in preseason, and it was aggravated in the Jets game in week 2. I don't know if that's true.
I don't think that is.
I don't either. And then Schefter says, and in addition to the 3 ribs, he's had a broken finger on his right index hand, which is giving him even more problems than the ribs. So all these all these injury reports for Tom Brady surfaced. During the game and before the game yesterday. So, you know, Belichick gets on EEI and they ask him about the Casserly report specifically, because, well, you know, who's wrong more than Charlie Casserly? You know, he's like a meteorologist.
He's been wrong at everything he's done since he left the Redskins. He's like a meteorologist. His percentage is so bad or something.
Could argue you got that Mario Williams pick, right?
It was great. You got it?
Who's been wrong more than Charlie Casserly since he's left the Redskins?
Yeah.
Who's been wrong more? Yeah. I mean, wherever he's been, whatever he's done, I mean, his percentage has got to, it's like a meteorologist.
That's great. That's good stuff.
It's
and
great
know,
stuff, but you have that idiot Smirlis in the background has to throw in.
Right. They call that walking on the line.
Yeah, I mean, he's got great stuff. Shut up.
Shut
let
up.
Him talk.
Bread.
Stepping on the line.
Stepping on the line. Right.
That perfume on a pig. Yeah. Right.
He's so close. You know, besides Smirlis stepping on those great lines, that was something, obviously, that Bill had thought about going into that show.
And he did finish it by saying he's 100% wrong.
Yeah.
You have that audio?
Which, by the way, no one wrote. The Globe and Herald didn't write he was 100% wrong.
I think I saw that in
because that means everything.
Clips, though,
you know,
somebody put that in there.
You could be saying, you know, who's wrong
if you
are, but
right. And if you want to
get to right on this one,
if you want to get to the semantics of that, because Andy came over and told me that afterward, but the stuff that I had read never said that.
Right, and it's key because you're right. You can muddy the waters and not deny it, but he said he's 100% wrong.
He's 100% wrong.
I have more.
Okay, roll with it.
But he has no relationship to this team. I mean, I'd say less than zero. He's never here. I don't even know if he's ever been to a game. He's never been to a practice. He's never been. I mean, based on what? You know, that's, mm-hmm. I mean, anybody could say anything based on.
And they do.
They do.
You don't have the 100%
wrong. What about the 100%? Keep rolling.
That was a cut up. I'll find it. Give me a second.
Why did everybody cut
you sure
out?
You said it?
Well, I read it. No, I'm not sure he said it.
I haven't heard it.
We already got another thing.
Well, I read that part
that
too,
he
though.
Said that he didn't say.
I read that 100% thing
too. But are we sure he said it? Is what I'm saying.
No, well, no, because
we
I didn't
already
hear
had
it.
Another line that he's supposedly said.
No, I have the other line.
Okay, roll that line, whatever it is.
Looking for the 100% line.
Was Maroney a healthy scratch, or was it to get the other guys more carries?
Yeah, we activate the guys who want to play.
We activated the
guys that wanted to play.
Who it does kind of.
It does like said maybe
who. It does kind of say sound like who, but I know it wasn't.
Can you play it again, Doc?
Yeah, we activate the guys that want to play.
We. He did say we.
We heard a we.
Yeah,
that's an important word in the middle of that sentence.
At first, I thought he said who, but hearing it again, I'm pretty sure he said we.
Now that I hear it, I don't kill the person who wrote it.
No, because it's hard.
I would have called someone.
Yeah.
Right.
If I was Globe or Herald, I would have called Burge. Yeah. And I would have said, listen, it sounded like he said this, and I don't think that sounds like something Bill would say.
Right.
And that gets to that. Remember that that story we had about Leslie Visser? About covering Chuck Fairbanks way back. You know, Leslie Visser was the first female reporter in the NFL, basically. Covering the mid-70s Patriots, there was an injury or something, and they had to replace him, and she thought that Fairbanks said
neither. And it was either.
You know, who's going to play, you know, who can play or something
like that.
Who can
play left tackle? Neither of those guys can play.
He actually said either of those guys can play. And
one letter's
Leslie
a key
Visser
one there.
Wrote, neither of those guys can play, and evidently Fairbanks called her the next day and blistered her.
Yeah. All right. Well, we've gone an hour without reading an email or taking a break or a phone call, so let's do the break part right now. We'll do the other two parts when we come back.
Man, it's football season. I mean, usually the house is decked out by now. You know, the football lamps and the big wall posters.
Dude, it is decked out. But this year, I'm working on a higher level.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it.
Well, you're just not on that level. I've got Razor Sharp Fios TV from Verizon, so I don't just watch the game. I feel like I'm in it. The whole place has ultra-quick Fios internet, so my computer becomes my own personal press box.
Right. So, no little football helmet soaps in the bathroom this year?
Sadly, no. But with ESPN MVP, I get stats, scores, and highlights sent straight to my wireless phone.
With Verizon's Fios TV and internet, plus wireless apps like ESPN MVP, you have everything you need to take your football experience to the next level. Verizon, official telecommunications provider of the New England Patriots. Select VCast phone and VPAC subscription required. Fios available in select areas.
You are so far beyond football-shaped serving trays.
Just found out American Airlines flies to more than 250 cities in 40 countries. That's a lot of flying. So basically, that's 250 different things that I can put on my out-of-office auto reply. Why, I could say, island hopping in Hawaii, returning Friday. This is going to be fun. Better yet, swimming with whale sharks in Cancun back on... Wait, that sounds dangerous. Oh, I know. How about samba dancing in Rio back on Monday? Wish you were here. Well, not really. But with flights to over 250 cities in 40 countries, it's easy to get wherever I want to go on American. Even if it just happens to be sales meeting in Des Moines back tomorrow.
What will you put on your out-of-office reply? 250 cities, 40 countries, unlimited possibilities. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
The Patriots are celebrating their 50th anniversary, and you can too at the Patriots Pro Shop. The Patriots Pro Shop is the place to find all the official 50th season merchandise. Everything from the 1963 jerseys the players are wearing this season to polos, sweatshirts, and hats featuring the original Pat Patriot logo. The Patriots Pro Shop has the widest selection of Patriots merchandise, including many 50th season items that you won't find anywhere else. Located next to Gillette Stadium at Patriot Place, the Patriots Pro Shop is open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sundays from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. or 24 hours a day at PatriotsProShop.com. And if you order from PatriotsProShop.com, we'll ship your order for just $5. You'll know it's authentic when you order from PatriotsProShop.com because your item is being shipped from Gillette Stadium. Celebrate 50 years of Patriots football at the Patriots Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
Patriots, PFW in progress.
PFW in progress on Patriots.com with Jake Steele, Portly Paul Perillo, Eric Scalavino, and Andy the Idiot Hart. Online and out of bounds at Patriots.com.
All right, webradio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482. We went a whole hour. We had a lot to talk about.
And we still do.
I mean, it's not like we covered everything.
Where do we get into the Ravens?
A lot of emails.
I was going to say, I'm not sure we mentioned Baltimore.
Well, we've got today, Wednesday and Thursday as well.
Sunday at 1, there'll be a game.
Yep.
Tracy in Vegas writes, and she says...
hey, girl.
She heard the 100% line as well. That he said that.
It's on the scroll, too. Oh, okay. We should point out during the break.
The scroll could have taken it from wherever I read it.
On ESPN.
So she heard that, but she said she still doesn't hear the we in the other quote.
It's there. Hard. That's a hard
It's very hard to hear, but it's there.
Okay.
That quote means a lot.
It does.
Oh, yeah. Very different.
I look at Bill, and I think of the 10 years that we've been listening to him talk, and I just can never remember him saying something so flatly. You know, we played the guys who wanted to play. I mean, there's no way. Plus, does Kevin Falk really strike you as the kind of guy that said, Bill, I don't want to play this last game.
You know what I was thinking? Anything. Is it possible he went to, like, he has his individual meetings with, like, key guys and captain-type guys, and one-on-one asked people, do you want to play this week?
What do you think? Should we play?
And, like, Brady and Moss and those guys go, hell yeah, I want to play. And Falk goes, I could use a week off.
Kevin Falk? See, I could see Maroney saying that because he's certifiable.
I don't think Bill would ever ask him.
No, I know that, but I could not see Kevin Falk.
But that's
saying,
one of those where you poll the guys individually so none of them know what the others answered.
Yeah.
And Falk was the only one who said, I could use a week off.
Mark from Newton says, Belichick said during the interview on EEI that the Gillette Field was terrible, but it was consistent. His main issue was the field was inconsistent, soft, hard, wet seams, etc. Also, the host asked him about the field conditions. He didn't say it unprompted.
But the field conditions were a pretty big topic.
They were
after the game.
Yeah, in the locker room. A lot of reporters were asking players about that.
And
because of what happened to Welker.
If he had instructed the players to not talk about it, he would have said we're on to Baltimore.
And if he had instructed the hosts to ask about it, they would have asked about it on the show.
Which is my guess, knowing how those interviews generally go, that there's probably some truth to that also. And minor disagreement, the Patriots field was not consistent. The Patriots field between the hash marks was terrible. Out by the sidelines, it was generally okay, where it was little used. So it wasn't consistent. You could run, from sideline to sideline and run in two or three different kinds of conditions.
Paul says, I used to work at a local TV station in Vegas. Now I'm retired. My experience in TV news wasn't about truth. It was about being first and getting your slant. So I'm not surprised with the questions local news reporters ask.
Yeah, they suck.
You know, I was having this conversation with somebody, and, you know, I don't want to get all philosophical, but, you know, we talk about history is written by the winners. You know, when you read a history book, it's written by those in power. You know, so you can never really trust what you're reading in history books. And, you know, now they say, well, now with video and everything, and, you know, we'll be able to know 2,000 years what really happened. No.
No, you won't.
No, because it's still being controlled and edited and manipulated. You'll never know what really happened unless you were there.
If you got video from the state-run media in North Korea, you'd think that North Korea was the greatest country in the history of the world.
Or YouTube. There's always these clips on YouTube that then disappear and say removed by blah, blah, blah.
The fact that it's a different medium makes no difference.
Right. They're still going to control it.
Yeah.
Have you ever read that book, Lies Your Teacher Told You or whatever?
No.
And, like, supposedly how history was different than what you.
Right.
I think I read it. I don't remember. It was a school assignment. I'm not sure if I actually read it.
So I wasn't supposed to let the priest pull down my pants?
Oh, Fred.
No, you are just... There's no filter.
You are
on
a roll unlike any other.
There's no filter.
You compare losing the Super Bowl to a loss of a child, and now this.
No, the pain.
And now this.
Yeah, that's what he's talking about, the pain, not the joy.
God forbid I make a priest joke.
On the air?
Should we pause and play the disclaimer again?
That's true.
Wouldn't hurt.
We have
you
a disclaimer.
You might need another disclaimer just for Fred.
Paul's using four-letter words.
I apologize for that.
Yeah, you've never done
Paul
that.
Paul bought lunch, so that's lies.
Oh, that's right. Lunch that today came from Paul from Peabody.
Paul from Peabody.
That was out of line.
Now, was this lunch?
No, my comment.
Was this collecting on our pool winnings, or is that going to be a separate lunch?
No, Well, you know, I didn't win that much, but yeah, we'll
have lunch. You won enough for lunch. You don't have to say it if your IRS guy will be mad.
I'll take home 900.
Oh, that's not bad.
1,053. I tipped the 153. I told him to go and get himself something nice.
I think you owed him more than that.
No, 10%.
Yeah, I think you owed him more for when he called and said, I need your pick. You didn't lose last week. You moron.
You mean if you run one of those things, you make 10% of the winnings?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I got to run one.
I think generally, first of all, it's a lot of work. But I
Second of all, you work for an NFL franchise.
Generally,
Third
I like
of all, you're already rich.
And some guys don't tip them, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Just the tip.
All right. Doc found the 100% clip.
Now that we have it confirmed,
an hour later,
he found it.
Go ahead.
Well, just the only thing I'll say is at least he put his name on it, which doesn't happen in a lot of cases. Yeah. At least he put his name on it, and so I'll put my name on it and say, you know, he's like he usually is. He's 100% wrong.
I love it.
Bill
I
want to
know
about Charlie
I want to know who this guy is that inhabited his body yesterday. I mean, just
he's great.
The greatest quotes ever.
I want to know what Charlie did to get on his bad side.
The meteorologist quote is just classic.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
He's still, I mean, he drafted Mario Williams over Reggie Bush, right?
Yep.
Yeah,
so he's a pretty good pick now.
He went against convention and was right.
But actually, in that draft, it was probably a guy you could have picked better than both of them, right?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, I'm sure there were, but Mario Williams has been a pretty good player.
But the debate was.
Right.
It was kind of
like
two. Bledsoe, Meyer, Leaf,
and
Manning.
And people laughed at him when he took Williams.
Right. And Bill's still laughing at him.
It really wasn't like that. It was
No, I know, but it
was one clear cut.
It was the Reggie Bush
like
one of a, they were calling
one of a
It's not like you're saying
player.
Ray Lewis, the thing I did the other day, who was taken 27th, and Reggie Brown, John Mobley, and... Who's the other guy?
Very well done right there.
Yeah, but the Brown guy I got, who was the third, that were linebackers that were picked ahead of him. You can do that in any draft.
Kevin Hardy,
that's right.
But I think it was, you know, Bledsoe, Meyer, you could flip a coin.
Right.
I think you could have found plenty of personnel guys that would have gone either way. Mm-hmm. Same with Manning and Leaf. Everybody thought,
Bush,
including me,
right.
by the way, I mean that Bush was the clear-cut number one guy. You shouldn't even discuss it.
Blue chip, once-in-a-generation player.
No one thought Mario Williams was worthy of being taken that
well
out.
Yeah,
except for Charlie Casserly.
No,
he
was in the top three at that point,
but not one.
He was in the top three, so it's not like he took a guy that everybody else said is the 15th best player. He was up in the ballpark.
We leave that for the Raiders.
Right.
They take
who's that safety
in the
guy
second
that they
round
took?
That weren't draft eligible.
I decided this morning, Jamarcus Russell, biggest bust ever.
Really?
It was another philosophical
bust ever.
Another philosophical Andy Paul
more
conversation
than,
this morning.
Yes.
Tony Mandarich.
Yes. There's reasons.
Ryan Leaf.
We came up with the yeah, but rule.
Rick
All those
Myra
other people.
Was a bust.
No, not even close.
There were a lot of
Rick
busts.
Meyer could play in the National Football League.
Number two pick overall.
For a lot of
But
for
he
a lot
played
of years.
For a long time.
I know, but
Rick Meyer was the Willie McGinnis of quarterbacks.
Okay.
No, he wasn't that good.
I knew I could get that.
But Rick Meyer was a Pro Bowler compared to what Jamarcus Russell
Jamarcus Russell cannot beat air.
That's true.
You know when
that's
they run seven-man routes against air? Yeah. He throws a lot of incompletions.
Yeah, no, it's
almost every.
He does.
Ryan,
he stinks.
I know he does.
I think Ryan Leaf would be comparable.
Yeah, but emotions.
But I'm just saying.
Plus, didn't he? I mean, he had decent stats a few different games.
Oh, Leaf?
I don't think Jamarcus Russell's ever had a good game.
I would say that Jamarcus Russell is a bigger bust. He's a bigger bust than Ryan Leaf.
But Ryan Leaf had no success as an NFL.
And here comes Junior Seau to grab him in that clip.
He had no success.
Was that who
as a
was?
Junior Seau grabs him and takes him away from the reporter.
But Jamarcus Russell, do you realize he completed less than 50%?
That's what I'm saying.
He can't beat air.
He can't play.
I mean,
they took a guy with the number one overall pick with no, like, asterisk. I mean, like, every guy, like Tony Mandrich, yeah, but he was on roids. That's why he wasn't, you know, there was always a yeah, but. There was no yeah, but with this guy. He just couldn't play.
And, you know, say what you want about Tom Cable, but give him credit. In his season end, he said, look, he knows he's got,
that's the
we
beauty.
Can't win with him.
That's the beauty of knowing you're getting fired,
right.
too.
Not caring.
I don't know if he's going to get fired. You think he's going to get fired, Tom Cable?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I just think Al Davis doesn't want to look for another coach at this point.
And
you know?
Me and Andy were seconding the notion put forth by the famous John Mita Perel on the radio this morning.
But
Mike Leach.
So the Raiders?
There you go.
That's the solution.
All he cares about stats and offense and big plays. All Al Davis calls about. I mean,
Andy's an outlaw. What could be more perfect?
Right.
He's got an offensive system that he's going to put up millions of yards, and he's, you know, sort of countercultural. He goes against convention.
Don't you worry about it.
Web radio at patriots.com.
See if Ryan Leaf ever had a good game.
I don't think he did. I mean, he might have had a good game, but not.
I don't think Jamarcus Russell ever had it. Wow. As a rookie, 2 touchdowns and 15 interceptions.
For Leaf?
Rating 39.0 in 11 games.
Wow.
Then the next year, 18 picks and 11 touchdowns. His rating skyrocketed to 56.2.
Hey, told you. They're comparable. I would say Russell's worse.
Yep.
How do you find
they're
out?
Comparable.
Oh, game logs.
Yeah.
Sawyer from Waterloo
game logs.
Says, hey, guys, and people wearing sweaters. That one would be Eric with that's not quite navy blue, but it's a dark blue crew neck.
Yeah, it's not black. It's navy.
It's not?
Looks like navy blue to me.
It's navy
blue.
It's like Yankees type colors.
That's navy blue.
That's navy blue. I know. That was my point. That's covering up my mistake.
Yeah.
I could be colorblind.
My condolences to Wes in the Patriots season.
Is this from Eric Scalavino?
From Waterloo.
Oh. Eric Scalavino would have similar feelings.
I second your emotions.
Did you see that the commish wants to implement rules that would force teams to play their players to the end of the season, or give incentives to play them, like giving draft picks
he wants
to teams
incentive.
That give it their all?
They need to be incented.
That makes sense. Give a team that is so good they don't have to show up their last few games extra picks to use to get better so they don't have to play in more games next year.
You know what might have an effect? Not if the commissioner did anything, but if fans got together, like season ticket holders, let's say, and signed a petition saying, we want our money back for the crap games that you gave us in week 17.
Right. Well, I think.
And then I think the NFL might do something about
people
it.
People have talked about that before. I remember back in, it was the late 80s, I think there was like this fan group that wanted to start this fan group that would actually be an organizing body of fans that could, you know, issue strikes and all this stuff. And it's really hard. It's like herding cats. You can't do it. But this whole idea of that's an old saying.
You almost got Paul to snarf there.
I never heard it.
He's unbelievable.
But if I mean seriously, if there was enough.
Yeah,
you know, if there was enough support, fan base support.
Well, remember the Lions fans? They were going to boycott the first quarter.
It was the Browns?
Was it the Browns? I thought last year
it was the Browns.
Lions. It was before.
Yeah, it was last year.
And then he met with Randy Lerner, and everybody was mad at him.
Yeah, it was the Browns this year.
Yeah, this year, but the Lions tried to do it the year before, and it just didn't have the effect that they wanted it to. This whole thing about forcing teams to do anything, forget that. You can't do it. So now we talk about incentives to give. The draft pick, I don't know. You can't use them right away. And I was thinking, what about if, let's say you're the top-seeded team, to incent you to play that last game, you get to pick and choose the day and time of your playoff games.
It's so ridiculous.
I don't know if the networks would buy into that, but if you're the
is that worth it?
I don't know. I don't know.
I wanted to ask you a question. Just to let the listeners know, Fred talked about this with us Saturday night before the game when we were out. Did you know that that was?
No, I talked to you on the bus on Sunday, on Saturday afternoon.
No, yeah, I know you did.
I had no idea.
Credit. I'm just wondering, had you heard anything?
No.
Because all of a sudden the next day, Goodell. Goodell, he appeared actually during halftime of one of the games, I think, or during
one
of the games.
And he used my word. He said the word incent.
Well, you know what's funny about that?
That doesn't make
so
it
he
right.
He doesn't know the English language either.
No.
Well, I don't know about that, if that can be used as a verb or
open
not.
Open up another window.
It was funny because Stacey James, I was talking to on the bus, and he's scrolling through his BlackBerry, and he had that on Florio, Goodell,
right.
You know, blah, blah, blah. And Stacey turned to me. He said, you know, did you see this? You know, Goodell wants to start incenting teams to play hard in Week 17. And I looked and I was thinking to myself, you got to be kidding me. How many times am I going to hear that word used as a verb? I didn't know it was a verb.
So you didn't talk to a source?
Absolutely.
To incent?
No, because I was thinking hard about this.
I'm looking it up now.
I was thinking about this, you know, because of all the things with the Colts and all that. I'm like, you can't force teams to do that.
I was wondering if maybe Jonathan had talked about it at all. From Goodell. But
they were out of
give
the country you, last week.
And you were ahead of the curve. You were talking about it on Saturday.
Well, it just makes sense.
Well, I just don't think there's any way you can do
it. No, I'm not saying I don't know the way, but you can't think about forcing.
Because you had talked about money. You know, you get
maybe the players make more money.
An extra kitty of money. Well, you'd have to get it for the organization because it's a team decision.
Yeah.
And I don't think it necessarily works. And I had actually brought up draft picks.
Right.
I said, you know, maybe compensatory draft picks, but you can't give anything more than a third.
Right.
And I don't know if that's really all that valuable for anybody.
Right.
And you know, what are you going to do with it?
You know, when you're in the heat of the playoffs, you're not thinking about drafting.
I mean, can you imagine what the bad teams would say if you said, oh, we're going to give the 14-0 Colts a compensatory first-round pick because if they go 16-0, I mean, that makes no sense.
But I think it's one of two. I think it's some type of incentive that can be used right then and there, or like Eric said, it's got to be fan-driven. I don't think there's any other way to do it.
I just don't think.
And,
I think it's a problem, and I recognize the problem. I just don't think there's a solution.
And you know what? Maybe it isn't that big a problem.
That's how I feel.
I think the Colts thing, that was different. That isn't about resting players. It's about going for a perfect season. To me, that's going to happen once in a while, and then a team will make a decision whether or not that's important to them. The whole resting players has happened since the beginning of time.
Right, and everybody's really upset about it because lately, in the last 3 or 4 years, it's determining whether or not teams specifically get in the playoffs. And I think it seems to be happening more often right now than it used to. But teams have been resting as they go
Absolutely.
Into the playoffs forever.
Yep.
You know, like the Jets specifically got in because two teams laid down for them. You know, a couple of years ago, the Colts laid down for Tennessee, if you remember, and that allowed the Titans to get in the playoffs, and it knocked Cleveland out. Do you remember that year? Lee Bodden talked about it.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yep.
You know? So I think these things have been happening more lately. I just don't think there's anything you can do about it.
And the other thing is, if you're a Steelers fan, yeah, you're bummed out that you won at the end. What, they win their last four games or something, and you're still out. But you lost to the Browns. You lost to Kansas City. You lost to the Raiders. It's your fault.
Right. I agree with Bill and the players on that, like last year. If we had won one more game, we would have been in the playoffs.
Yeah.
It was our fault. We lost.
Yeah. There was a line of questioning at the post-game press conference after the Jaguars win, where there was some questions to Bill about, you know, you went 11-5 last year, and yet you lost on two tiebreakers. This year you could go 11-5, and you're hosting a playoff game. Are you ever struck by the circumstantial nature of? And I looked at it and I said, there's nothing circumstantial about it. You beat different teams in different years, and you were able to win your division in one of those years, and you weren't in the other.
Right.
There's nothing like. I mean, is it unfortunate that you won 11 games and didn't make? Yes. 11 wins is going to get you in the playoffs 99% of the time.
Right.
But there was nothing like circumstantial or fluky or, you know, unlucky.
Every year is different.
You know, it just you will normally get in, but there were six teams in the conference that did better than you did. So really, when you look at it and you say, well, maybe it just was a different year. We weren't.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing circumstantial. I mean, the 8-8 Chargers won a division last year and made the playoffs. That, to me, stinks, but that's the rules.
Two quick updates from my ability to get on the web now. Merriam-Webster.com, incent. It's a verb, transitive verb.
Incent.
Thank you.
It's the back formation from incentive, so it's a backward-ass word. That's why it's there.
Incent.
And what are we using for the qualification of a good game?
What do you mean?
why don't you tell us?
Well, he did have one career game, as far as I can tell, with a passer rating over 100, which was 111.8. But he only completed 48% of his throws in that game. He had three touchdowns, one interception.
What was his
numbers? A 38-37 loss at Denver.
What were his numbers?
I just said 13 of 27, 311 yards, three touchdowns, one interception.
13 of 27, though, below 50%.
Yeah.
So that would be the closest.
That's the closest he's had to a good game?
I mean,
wow.
His rating, you want me to go through 54, 78, 0, 22, 56, 13, 59, 71, 11, 43. Those are his ratings in order in his rookie season.
Ugh.
I mean, yes, there were 11s in there.
Now, here's the other thing. How many years did he actually last?
2 years.
He only played 2 years.
Well, he had the end at Dallas, but.
As a starter. As a regular starter.
And.
So this is Russell's third year, correct?
What happened in 99? Did he get hurt?
I don't think he played.
Was that post, get out of my...
Because he played in 98, didn't play in 99, played in 2000.
With Dallas?
No, Dallas was 01.
Oh.
But 98 and 2000 were San Diego. But he sucked. So it might be Russell and Leaf battling. But the bigger issue is Ryan Leaf wasn't the number one pick, right?
No, Manning was.
Manning was.
So
yeah.
He's the biggest bust ever because he was the number one overall pick.
And I'll also say that Ryan Leaf was a great
At least you could say the Chargers would have taken Manning if he had been available, right?
Ryan Leaf was a great, great college quarterback.
You know, if they'd had the
Jamarcus
chance.
Russell wasn't.
No, he wasn't.
Right, he sucked. He sucked in college. He was a big guy with a big arm. He still is. He's just not a good quarterback.
But was Leaf immediately following Bledsoe?
That was Myron.
No. I mean at Washington State.
Oh.
Because what year was he? Was that 98 draft?
Drafted in 98.
So Bledsoe's last year was 92.
Was 92.
So
3, 4, 5, 6.
Yeah, no, that wasn't. Couldn't have been him immediately.
7, even if he redshirted, they may have been there.
I think it was. There was somebody in between them then.
Yeah, there had to be somebody in between.
Maybe Willie Sing Song.
What the hell
are you talking
about?
I don't know. I'm trying to herd up cats.
First, I thought he said hurt cats. He's comparing sons to Super Bowls. Now he's killing kitties.
Oh, I also wanted to say something else about the Charlie Casserly, the broken rib thing.
Yeah.
Did you happen to see the way the Herald wrote that today with our pal
no.
in the Herald?
Who's our pal?
Ian Rappaport. He wrote.
Does he have a sidekick?
No, he is one.
Yes, William Benditson.
Remember when Paul used to be uncomfortable saying names?
When? No, I don't. Actually.
He sells those two guys out left and right.
When uncomfortable saying names of the guys I like.
Whoa! Wow, you don't like William? Because I like you, William. I think you are a tremendous guy.
Don't like is a strong word. I do like. I think he's a nice kid.
Don't like are strong words.
Yeah.
he had no incent to call it.
The Casserly thing. It said that, you know, it was leading up to Bill shooting it down. And he wrote, Charlie Casserly reported that Brady was dealing with three broken ribs, a report that wasn't verified by the Boston Herald. Ugh. What does that mean?
It means they're the one, they couldn't actually go and get their own source to tell them.
Did the Globe verify it?
I have no idea.
Because if the Globe wrote that they verified the issue and then Belichick comes and shoots it down and you're the Herald, you're aligning yourself with Belichick and the truth. We never verified it, so we had it right.
Yeah, I looked at it as don't blame us because, you know, we never fostered such ludicrous rumors.
Right.
You know, which is garbage.
Garbage.
Is Tyrone still on the phone from Delaware? Hey, Tyrone, thanks for holding on.
Hey, man, what's going on, fellas? How are you guys here?
Good.
Not bad.
How about you?
It was doing good until Sunday, about probably 1:30.
Yeah. 1:30. Right about after a 12-yard gain from Wes Welker?
Yeah, that was horrible, man. I feel bad for my man Wes, man. He was the heart and soul of our offense. And, I was saying all season long as Welker was just getting, you know, catch after catch, I said, you know, if this keeps up, this guy going to get hurt, man. Because when it was third, I think it was 36 or something like that, and I said, I bet we're going to be open for us to move the chains, and so happened, that just happened. So,
I agree with you, Tyrone, but I just said to Fred earlier in the show, the thing that's unfortunate is we'd all been saying it. The guy caught 350 balls over the last 3 years, takes big hits, and we said sooner or later he's not going to get up. But the time he didn't get up was when he didn't take a hit. He was just trying to make a cut. No one hit him. It was just a freak play in the middle of the field.
But you see, that's how it is, man. I guess, but I keep on. You see, the reason why I'm not upset, like, because, to tell you the truth, I just want to be Baltimore because, you know, I'm living in Delaware and listening to the Baltimore radio.
That's big.
The fans. I just want to be Baltimore. But other than that, I already cut my losses. I don't think we're going to have enough, especially with Wes Welker. Wes Welker not there. Julian Edelman, I mean, hats off to him. He surprised me on Sunday. I mean, he played as best he could do it. So, what I was wondering about, I like what I saw. I'm not trying to say anything, right? But I like what I saw out of Hoyer. Is it possible that we see him they probably use him, because I'm going to tell you right now, listening to he had an interview on one of the radio stations down there, they coming after Brady. I think that's what they just going to come, bring pressure from all places. I think we're going to need some probably plays here, plays there, quarterback being a lot mobile.
Yeah.
Doing probably rollouts and stuff. I mean, Tom Brady said it. That's when Richard Seymour got traded. You got to do what's best for the team. I want to know if he's planning to do his own words.
There's no way, Tyrone, that I think you're going to see Brian Hoyer short of injury in this game on Sunday.
Right. I agree with that.
Yeah, not at all.
No way. I mean, they've played teams that blitz a lot. They made a legacy out of beating the Pittsburgh Steelers, one of the biggest blitzing teams in the NFL.
Yeah, no,
so they know how to do that. It's just a matter of, will Brady get the support he needs in order to overcome that rush? You know, will he have the confidence to go to Edelman over the middle? Will, you know, Falk, that's why I think Falk and Paul agrees is going to have a big game. He's going to chip out of the backfield, and he's going to become an outlet. You know,
just to state the record, I think he'll be the third option. I didn't say anything about
it. Well, the third option is a big
I didn't
me,
say how big a game he was going to have.
If he's going to be the third option, I hope he has a big game. He's going to need to have one.
I hope that, too. I don't necessarily think they're going to have a big offensive day on Sunday.
Oh, he will.
I just hope he wants to play.
I believe Baltimore will come out firing. I think from what I'm hearing, they're going to test that secondary really early.
I'm sure they will.
And
I'd be coming out firing, too. Baltimore's going to be up for this game. They're going to be like wild banshees.
Oh, yeah,
they should be. Yeah.
It's two motivational factors they got for this game. Mark Clayton bossed that catch there on the fourth down.
But he's still Mark Clayton.
That's a good point, Freddie.
And them calls.
They take him as the number two.
The Baltimore Ravens fans been calling all day about the Brady rules, and he got the flag calling.
That's going to be big for them. I know, but you know what? They better control it, otherwise they're going to end up with three more on Sunday.
You don't
think
the refs are going to be looking for that? Of course they will be.
They better control that because they're going to end up with more penalties, and they're a heavily penalized
team. You're right, but you see, I'm not so.
Who's the refereeing crew? Do we know yet?
I don't know. Mike will tell us later in the week.
It's Mike Carey's crew.
No, Mike Reese.
No, Mike Carey is he's one of his crews. They call a lot of penalties.
Right.
And one other thing before I go, since I already give up the season, because I mean I think we had a shot with Welker in there to at least beat. Well, I think we're gonna beat Baltimore. I think we're gonna beat Baltimore. We're gonna have just enough because I think their linebackers, they are tight end, could have a lot of separation with their linebackers they have. So I think Ben Watson or Chris Baker should have a good day. I think we get enough to beat Baltimore.
I agree.
I wish we had. But I think Paul said it earlier. I don't know who, but since the Colts ain't played almost 3 weeks, that, you know, they would have been nice for the Vikings.
I would have rather played Colts. I agree. I'd rather play them in the divisional round if the Patriots are lucky to get there. All right, Tyrone, we got a ton of emails we got to get to, but thank you for calling.
Thanks, Tyrone.
That's Tyrone from Delaware, 508-543-7482, webradio@patriots.com is the email address.
We've got a lot of emails.
So Tyrone and Eric are on the no chance bandwagon.
Yeah, where's Andy?
No. Tyrone said they're going to win
this. The season is over,
Andy.
I'm just saying.
Tyrone said they're going to win
but
this.
But he said there's no chance.
Cut his loss. Sounded like he's not even going to watch the divisional round game or whoever they play.
Well, they would play
San Diego. And by the way, just as a little tidbit, I read in one of the papers today that the NFL has already determined that the San Diego will host the late game on Sunday.
That's 4:40
Eastern time on Sunday.
So that's set.
If we make it through,
thanks.
We're at San Diego for
a late
game on Sunday.
Yep.
Well, you knew it was going to be the late game.
Well, it would
Saturday
be the late game
Sunday.
Either way.
I'd rather do Saturday.
I think I would.
From a printing standpoint, it's better.
Which is better?
Having a game on Saturday, have all Sunday to work on it.
That's true. But nothing we can do about it.
Yeah, that's
whatever.
Chris from Stanford writes in, great show. Love it when Paul gets fired up and starts talking old school. Haven't heard the term S-bum in a while.
Did you clean that up or was it cleaned up?
I'm sorry about that again. I pride myself. I pride myself on not swearing. I'm one of the few
on
members.
The air.
You just swore.
On the air.
You weren't in an argument with anybody but yourself.
I wasn't. I just hate that team. I'm sorry.
That was
a terrible team that they lost to, and they lost because of the field.
Careful.
Okay.
You can't
I'm going to say it again.
You can do it. All right.
Trying to stay positive, so there's three optimistic looks at the playoffs from a Pats fan perspective. One, the rise of the third receiver. I agree with Paul that Kevin Falk gets the nod here, but the mystery of it might work in New England's favor. See, even he said Kevin Falk is going to have a big game. Two, didn't they hammer Flacco the first time they played? They did get to him a lot.
A little bit.
I didn't. Yeah. Well, I have to look at that.
I would say, two would be he's not playing very well.
No.
They're all over him in Baltimore.
He's played a little bit better lately than he has.
Not from what I read.
He did nothing Sunday.
Yeah.
He's been very inconsistent.
The description was Asamoah took away Derek Mason, and Flacco looked like he had no idea what to do. They took away his one, and he had nothing to do.
Yeah, he had a decent year, though. Decent. He threw 63%, a little over 63%, 3,600 yards, 21 in 12. So
that's pretty good.
Not a bad touchdown interception ratio, 88.9 rating. So, but he was inconsistent coming down the stretch. And as he went, they sort of turned the offense more to Ray Rice.
Right.
And it kind of started, you know, they were throwing it all over the place early in the season when we played them.
Mm-hmm.
And then Rice had that big game. He had 100 yards on like 11 carries.
Yeah.
And then, you know, his workload really increased from that point on.
It
kind of was a transition from Flacco's offense to Rice's. And I read Bert Breer's piece today in the Globe, some anonymous scout type thing, said that not that they felt that Flacco was playing badly, but they felt that they were putting too much on him and they don't have the weaponry to really operate that way.
Yeah.
So it was part him and part extenuating circumstances.
The third positive from Chris is undermanned at receiver, just like 2006, maybe they'll make the AFC Championship. On Gillette Field in 06, I attended that loss to the Jets and wasn't surprised they ripped up that sod. The most frustrating game I'd seen in Belichick's tenure, especially because Maroney couldn't keep his feet on cutbacks and the Doug Gabriel fumble didn't help. Great work, guys. Looking forward to the AFC, the Pats running through the AFC.
Yeah. Really?
I wouldn't get your hopes up.
Really?
I'm hoping for it. I don't mind.
I'm hoping to win the lottery.
Going out there, Eric.
No.
And you know, expecting to win. And I don't want to go into the game going, I don't think we're going to win. That's
so you don't want to be realistic?
That's not the way I enjoy the game.
You don't like to live life as a realist?
I thought you were going in a different direction.
Yeah, that's not the way I enjoy the game. I enjoy the game going out there. We're going to win. And then if we lose, we lose.
Raping and pillaging.
Right.
Right.
Kidding yourself.
I certainly wouldn't be afraid.
Living a lie.
Right.
I don't think we're going to win. Wow.
Spinning off into all kinds of different areas now.
Tim in Baltimore says one suggestion to force teams to play starters in Week 17 is to make a rule that for a player to be able to play in the playoffs, they need to play a certain number of snaps in the final game of the season, barring injury. Well, that opens up the can of worms.
I tell you what, the teams that rest their starters like the Colts did should refund all of their ticket holders for that game. Because that's not what the ticket holders bought the tickets for. They didn't pay to see a preseason game.
Yeah,
you give them back their money.
Everybody always writes those columns about the preseason games.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody should write the columns about those games.
I would gladly refund the money if that's what it took. I think that's nonsense. But if that's what it took, if I were the team that did that, I would say, here's your money back.
And you can't do what Tim said.
You can't.
You have to incent. You can't punish.
It's very easy to get around that anyway, even if you want to punish.
The carrot, not the stick.
I mean, all right, so everybody has to play a certain amount of snaps.
You like carrots, huh?
Unless they're injured.
You like sticks.
What stops the team from saying, okay, it's first and 10. Peyton Manning drops back. He throws a pass. Oh, it looks like he rolled his ankle on
tweak
that drop
something.
Back. He's gonna sit out the rest of the game.
Right.
How do you do it? You can't.
Omar from Atlanta writes in, enough of the Houston turf. I feel better now. Yes, the Welker injury hurts. Unintended pun there. But for some reason, I'm feeling that the Pats will show the resiliency and flexibility that their opponents fear they'll show. Brady will, with even more determination, throw to his favorite receiver, the open one. And another thing.
What if he can't catch it?
The return of Sammy Morris and Fred Taylor could not have come at a better time as Wes Welker exits the scene. Courage, my friends.
Yeah, well, the problem is Ray Rice and Willis McGahee are running really, really well right now.
I think that's to do with the Patriots' offense.
See, I think it sure does, Fred. Because if the Ravens run the ball and keep the clock running for 10 to 12 minutes a drive, the Patriots aren't going to have the ball on offense.
Look, you want to talk about the Patriots' defense? Fine, but that doesn't have anything to do with what the emailer was just talking about.
Why are you yelling at Eric?
I'm making another point, Fred. He's sniveling.
Fred's on edge.
I think Eric's right. I think everybody's going to focus on the passing games this week, and I think whoever wins up front is going to win this game.
Well, we don't know what the weather is. Do we have a weather forecast?
It's supposed to be very cold.
High in 23.
Hot, clear in 23?
Yeah. High of 23.
Yeah.
I mean, you clear at all.
Any precipitation?
No,
wind?
It's supposed to be sunny.
I don't have any idea what the wind will be like. But if it's 19 degrees, you can take 81 off the...
Maybe we should ask Charlie Casserly.
Oh, good, Doc, the meteorologist.
That'd be funny if CBS put him in front of a weather board.
That
would be good humor.
And if he got the forecast...
middle birds.
And if he got the forecast right.
Right. Maki in Ireland says, hey, guys, and Paul...
Can't listen live.
Don't
worry.
He's probably drunk.
Maki's drunk.
Can't listen live, so I'm unaware of your opinions of the issue, but as usual, Andy was right.
Yes, I love Maki.
If we had arrested all our key players, Welker would this week be preparing to face the Ravens instead
Thank
of preparing
you.
To face surgery. Whatever criticisms you throw at Polian, it can't be denied that he's going into the offseason with all his key offensive players healthy. Also, can you see any reasoning in Belichick leaving Brady in as long as he did and then pulling him for the final 2 minutes?
Well, that was what
we talked about earlier.
I actually thought, and I said this at the time, that he might pull him the drive before that when Houston had tied the game and there was about 8 or 9 minutes left. And I was like, be interesting to see if this is a situation, quote unquote, that he think, let's, you know, need to, you know, stem the momentum or whatever. I mean, the possession before that, not the tying one.
Yeah.
The possession before that. And put him out there, you know, need two or three first downs, kind of like a four-minute offense type situation, even though there was more time than that. Might need
12-minute offense that they used the week earlier.
Well, might need a key third down pass to be, you know, to be completed here while, you know, the defense is sort of desperate. Tough spot.
So that Brady's available for the game-winning drive.
Well, I wasn't really thinking in terms of at that time.
We didn't know he was flipping a coin on the sideline to decide who played.
Right.
Because there was no plan.
Yeah, that's just very strange.
Let's see. Lucas says, man, this season is an effing roller coaster ride. I truly felt that despite all flaws, Belichick and Brady would make it happen in the playoffs. Now, with the West injury, everything is up in the air. I almost cried watching him on the sidelines, but it's not just this year that is the concern. I doubt he'll ever be that explosive again.
I agree.
On a scale from 1 to 10, how much does Wes Welker's injury affect the Pats?
8.
It's not a bad answer,
good.
Bill.
He was ready with that.
I think
that.
He's in the ballpark.
Good job, Doc.
Nice to see you paying attention.
If Brady's a 10, then...
He's been on vacation.
Well, from vacation.
Right. I'd say right now it hurts him at a 5.
A 5?
Yeah. A 5?
So he is apparently loose.
That's
a little
your
change.
Guy,
wait a minute. Right now?
No, for this game coming up.
Oh, I think it's way
That's
higher.
That's way higher
I
than
I do,
that.
Too. Paul...
I'd say it's a 9.
If this happened in the beginning of the year, I think
he'd
be down by a 5.
Right.
I actually heard someone yesterday...
Oh, come on. I mean,
we're going to get
another Eric Fred fight. But he's one guy. A 9? If there's a 9, they might as well not even take the field.
Well, that's what they think.
Who's they?
You and Eric both think they're going to lose.
I do think they're going to lose.
Because of Wes Welker.
Yes.
Otherwise, they're going to win.
The margin of error was that close. I didn't think you had. I thought it was going to be a dogfight, and you took away a key part of your team.
I thought it was going to be a close game, and I still think it'll be a close game because I don't think Baltimore can run and hide. They don't have the kind of offense. Even like Houston, and by the way, I told you I thought that game would be a tough game, even if we took it seriously. Well, we took it pretty seriously, and it was a tough game.
Right.
I thought that
was
a
really
tough
game. You lost.
That was the kind of I don't think they would have lost if they played it completely to win. I think they would have won the game if everybody played.
Who didn't play?
Wilfork and Warren. Bodden.
And they were switching things around on defense.
I don't know what they were doing.
Yeah.
I don't think they would have run the ball for 150 yards if Wilfork
played. They didn't play it straight up. They were trying things and mixing and matching.
They played to win with most of their personnel, but not all. Would you agree with that?
Right, the guys who wanted to
play. But I don't think that's the reason why it was a tough game.
I'm just citing the Boston Herald.
I think it was a tough game and would have been a tough game because I think Houston could throw the ball, and I think you can throw the ball on this team. I just don't know if Derek Mason is enough to be able to take advantage of that with Baltimore.
Let's see. Luca has some yes-no questions. Ready? Yes-no question number one, win against the Ravens.
No.
Yes.
Yes.
Randy Moss, like his mentor Chris Carter, not getting a ring.
Yes.
Randy Moss will not get a ring.
Oh, wait. Ever?
Ever.
So that includes next year.
Yeah, I agree. Yes.
Yes.
Would you like to get Andy? Brandon Marshall?
No.
No.
Everyone says no.
He's a problem.
I say yes.
Another problem child.
We don't need him.
Wilfork leaving the Pats. Yes or no?
Yes.
But not now.
Not next year. He'll be franchised.
Does Bill ever say to himself, man, the D is awful this year now with Welker. I'm screwed.
Bill doesn't think like that.
No.
I never said that.
No.
Eric Scalvino said it.
But I heard, we're talking about how much of an impact Welker
has.
You
said it too.
No, you have closed the door on a dynasty, and your ship sank. Mine's still floating, and it's going down.
They're not going to win this weekend.
Right. Your woe is me.
You said they weren't going to win before Welker.
So Eric's boat is already at the bottom of the ocean. Yours is only halfway down?
Yes.
Eric says we're
I'm the guy who, you know how in the cabin you put your head real up by the ceiling, there's a little pocket of air, you can still get a couple breaths out of
the guy in the Titanic who's fixing the time on the clock before he goes down?
Right.
Good for you.
Right.
Yeah. Eric doesn't think they're going to win ever.
Right. It's over.
Yeah.
Bill can't coach anymore. The dynasty is dead. Right. Everything.
It's over.
You can live in your fantasy world if you want to. I'm a realist. Okay. Sorry.
Never picked against the Patriots?
That was a Paul-like comment right there. You can just give away draft picks willy-nilly.
He's a realist.
We were talking about Welker and his impact and whether he got hurt now. I actually heard a lot of people saying it's better that he got hurt now.
That's the dumbest thing I've heard.
Who said that?
heading into the play. Now, assuming that you would still be 10-6 and in the playoffs and win the division, okay? I know that's a big hypothetical because maybe you wouldn't if you got hurt in week two. But are you telling me that it's better to go fly by the seat of your pants and go into the playoffs first game out of the chute without a guy who's been a huge part of your offense than it would have been if you had 10 or 12 games to play without him?
Stupid. Right.
And you wouldn't believe how many times I heard that yesterday. And some of the people were agreeing with it.
What, from people calling
on
the radio?
Yeah.
Oh, those people are morons anyway.
But no, the guys on the shows were agreeing with it.
Those people are morons anyway.
Well, I'm going to be one of those tomorrow.
Yes, and you're a moron.
No, I'm not.
Kevin Wright,
a moron.
The bad Kevin
Stubborn,
writes
yes. Moron, right. No.
Don't even read this idiot's email.
Who's this?
He says, bad hey, Fred, Kevin. Paul, oh. Eric, and the douchebag. Two things today.
Why don't you like him, Andy?
Because he's a, I can't say it.
What, do you think?
Call him, Paul, what he is.
Oh, come on.
Oh,
a poop bum.
He's already,
it's been a long, I don't think I had one for a long time.
Do you think we will see more of the tight ends and Brady spreading the ball around to 10 or so different receivers like we saw in previous years before Moss and Welker?
How about four?
I don't know if they have 10 eligible receivers.
They bringing Tom Ashworth back to catch a couple?
Well, if you add in the each running back catching one. Tight ends catching one and all the receivers, you could get 10 different guys.
And he goes 10 of 43, and they lose.
I just think the spreading it around thing
Fred,
is overrated.
Look at this number I came up with. Julian Edelman tied for third on the team with 37 catches.
Right.
Who's he tied with, Falk?
Falk.
Very quiet.
So your number three receiver.
I know.
But wait,
the number.
18 of his 37 catches came in the two games that Welker didn't play, the Jets and the Texans, both losses, by the way.
Yep. On the road.
So really, he had 19 catches as your number three receiver, because in those games, he was your number two, or number one, however you look at Wes Welker as your option.
Yeah.
So, they got nothing. And I know we've said it all year, but that was just like eye-opening to me to look at a number with it.
I know.
It's disgusting.
Second question from Bad Kevin. Will Maroney be a healthy and
he'll
active
right
this
long.
Week, too?
No.
Play the guys who want to play.
No. He'll be
do you think
there.
He's active this week?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
Benny?
I do.
Benny inactive?
Yeah.
I think it's close. I think I don't really
Plus,
know.
Put him back there to return kicks. They suck at that.
I don't know. At least when he fumbles, it's on the other team's goal.
Paul wants to know, is it possible is it possible to take away TV money from teams that don't play their starters?
No.
No. But I think
you think the owners aren't getting along now? Now you start subtracting money from those checks?
Yeah. Right. No, but I think they can have it both ways. Like we said, give the fans their money back, and then the coaches can still do that if they want to.
I don't think either one.
But I don't think the coach gives a rat's behind about giving the fans money back. Fred is talking about a way to get teams to do it, to want to do it. And I don't think Bill Belichick would care if Robert Kraft had to write 68,000 checks for $75.
He would if he fined the coach.
Well, then he'd be the ex-coach of the Patriots.
Well, yeah. I mean, I just don't.
You
think
hire me to win football games to win championships.
You can't do it.
Now you're telling me you're going to fine me for not trying to win a championship?
Yeah, and
it doesn't work.
Some would argue that that's not the right way to go about it.
But
it's his opinion that I pay $4 million a year to have make the decisions.
The problem is there's no right and wrong way to do it. And you could easily say the teams that rest, that it's been proven, they don't win. Well, it really hasn't been. There's teams that have won resting. There's teams that have lost. I mean, the Colts choke no matter what they do.
Right.
The Colts have choked early in the playoffs.
They rest every year and they've won one Super Bowl.
Right. Last year they had
to. Right.
But
his face tells the real story.
Fred.
No, I'm just saying, it worked once.
No, but my point is about the rest thing. They didn't even rest.
I'm sitting
year.
Here laughing, yeah. Thinking of Bill Polk.
They didn't rest. Everybody says, well, the one time they didn't rest, they won the Super Bowl. That's not really last year they didn't rest, and they lost their first playoff game. Yeah. They had won eight in a row, or whatever many in a row they finished the season with, and they lost. They had to win all those games to get where they to in the playoffs and all that stuff, and they went out and lost. So they've rested and lost. They've rested. Right. I mean, they've not rested
right.
and lost.
There's no one way.
The only consistent thing to me with Indianapolis is they tend to lose playoff games they're not supposed to lose. I don't think rest has anything to do with their problems. They choke.
Right.
That's why I wanted to play them in the divisional round instead of the AFC Championship.
Andrew in the Ukraine, I'm surprised that an artiste like Eric didn't know that the Yankees wear midnight blue and not navy blue. Anyway, I guess next year we will see who has been more valuable to whom in the receiving corps.
What?
He's getting in the grammar. I don't know what that means, but I think he wanted to work in the word whom.
Next year, I think.
Moss without Welker?
Yeah, and. Yeah, I think that's his point.
Yeah.
If Welker, let's just say, like, Andy, I should probably point out about 38 seconds after Wes Welker was carted to the sideline, Andy said, we won't see him again until week 7 next year. He'll start the year on PUP.
You want to
bet? I think he's right.
I don't want to bet. But
put your money where your mouth is, Batman. You just won $900. Put it on the line.
Let's
bet something better. Your hair.
I'm not betting.
If I win, you shave your head.
He's already going to do that.
I talked about that this morning.
He's already going to shave your head?
You're going to do it?
I talked about that with the lovely
all missus. Three of those?
And hairs, that is.
I was just getting out of the shower, and she was just getting in. I said, yeah, this is it.
Now I'm uncomfortable.
Why?
Because she had a mental shower.
Why did you put you and your wife naked talking?
Get to the point.
I didn't say that I was in the shower with her. I mean, that would make you uncomfortable.
But you're crossing at the curtain.
Why don't you go the other way and get plugs?
No.
Why
Fred,
not?
Fred, we're making progress here.
No,
let him.
So anyway.
He has a career in TV to think about.
I have a haircut coming up.
In the off season.
I have a haircut coming up on Thursday. And I said, my last haircut on Thursday. I'm getting it shaved after that. She goes, no, you're not.
And
I said, no, I am. She goes, why are you going to do that? Why do you want to do that? I said, listen, if it looks bad, I'll just let it grow and
grow back.
But yes. I'm tired of it.
2 months later, it'll be back.
It's just so thin and stringy. I don't like it. It's just, I got to do something about it.
Good man.
Good for you,
man. No, Fred, that looks stupid.
Wait,
so everybody can make fun of
dumb.
Me?
No,
you were awfully bald two weeks ago.
Listen,
what happened?
It doesn't work.
Looks like I'll
that.
Play 18 holes of golf on your head.
No, listen to me. Listen. You do it over.
He's having a great show.
You do it over a two-year period. It's very, very gradual.
Really?
But Fred, everybody knows me.
So what?
No matter how gradual it is, people are going to say.
People are going to know.
It's going to be the opposite. Well, you really went bald there, didn't you?
Right.
Okay, so people that have like the LASIK eye surgery, they shouldn't get that.
How do you tell if a person to do with what we're talking
how
about?
How are you going to know that I had LASIK eye surgery? Which, by the way, I'm also doing in the office.
One day you're not wearing glasses anymore.
I don't wear
contacts.
Glasses,
but that works.
But you won't know I don't have
LASIK.
My
you look
actually
works
in his eye. Plugs work.
Plugs look stupid, no matter how good they are. They look bad.
No, you're wrong about that. There are procedures now that are.
There's a lot of people in Hollywood that you think they have hair. They don't.
It's not like the old days where you have like. It's almost like a hairbrush on your head with little
right.
you know, little bristles right. coming
see,
out.
You ever see Ted Danson? Right. Remember Ted Danson?
Of course.
That guy was bald. He went bald.
Yeah, but didn't he wear a wig? He wears a wig.
No, he's got he had fake hair now.
I thought he wore a wig.
Yeah, it's called a wig. I don't think so. I think he had plugs.
Pretty sure it's a wig.
He has white hair.
Yes, white hair now.
That's a white hair wig.
I think it's plugs.
Pretty sure it's a wig.
It's a pretty damn good wig if it's a wig.
And it's so better than get a wig.
All I'm saying is that you can do it the right way.
And all I'm saying is he would look
That's
better doing it naturally.
Right. It's just shave it off. Easy, done. And 2 weeks later, everybody remembers not anymore what he looked like. It's
funny
the new guy.
I'm really.
It's the new guy.
I'm really.
We win either way because he either looks better, he's in a better mood, or we laugh our asses
first
off.
First of all, nothing's ever going to put me in a better mood. You know that.
That's true.
But I'm just worried that it's going to look really, really stupid. And I keep saying that to Andy. He's like, what's the worst that can happen? It's not going to look that. I mean, it's going to look different. That's all.
It is going to look different. Him. He just wants
you
to
know.
Laugh.
He's going to laugh either way.
He has a laundry list of 13 ready to go right off
absolutely.
The top. As soon as I walk in the office the first day.
It's going to look
he'll
better.
Give me about 11 seconds of a
you're
grace
just
period.
A bad guy. No, you are a bad guy.
First, two things.
I don't think you'll unload
No.
He will.
Two things. A, it will look better, and B, regardless, he will laugh at you.
You don't think I'd make fun of you if you got plugs?
That'd
be worse.
Never even contemplated.
That'd be worse.
Paul, he's
way
not
worse.
Suggesting that for your own
yes,
good.
I am.
He's
yes,
doing
I
it
am.
For his amusement.
No, I'm not.
You're a liar.
If I wanted that, I'd have him get plugs because I think that's a funnier that'll give me a lifetime
no,
of shots.
Do it over a 2 year period. It's so gradual.
It's expensive, Fred. I don't have your money.
I'm proud though, Paul, that you're not like Chris Ferreira.
I think it's
$100
a plug. No, I
and how many plugs you think I need?
A plug, one hair?
I don't know.
I have no
idea. It's been like $1 million.
I'm proud of you, though, that you're standing up to your wife, unlike Chris Ferreira.
Oh, please. My wife would never say, you can't do it.
You just said no.
Why, does Chris
want to
shave his head,
she doesn't want
too?
Me to do
yeah.
it, but she would never
really?
Say I
and he's
can't.
A pansy, so he won't.
Told you once you couldn't drink a beer.
That was after I had a, I don't know.
I mean, something from
in
Houston
retrospect,
we to bring
that was a wise choice.
Oh, yeah,
choice.
So we don't have much time to talk about it, but do you want to talk about the cab driver, Fred?
Oh, we should throw that
we
out there.
Throw
even
that
though it makes
there.
Fun of me, we should throw that out there.
Why don't you
it makes fun of you and
since
Fred.
You were most right. physically
real
involved.
Quick, John Rook is waiting in the wings. But real quick, we get in a cab in front of the hotel to go to a sports a Buffalo Wild Wings.
A minivan.
Minivan.
Yeah, a minivan cab.
So right. the door opens up. Fred gets in the way back, and I'm next to follow, and I'm going
to,
you know,
go
get
sit
in the way back with Fred because the first guy's in should
right.
go in the back. And as I do it, the cabbie stops me. And says, I don't want too many of the bigger guys in the yeah. back.
Can I ask
so
that the smaller guys
rocket,
go in there?
It's a complete rocket shot at both Fred and I.
And then he asked Fred to
and
get
then,
out.
And then I stopped and I said, where do you want me to go? And he goes.
Well, while Andy and I are laughing and, our yeah, asses off.
No. Andy and Eric
Andy,
were hysterical.
Eric and the, and whatever the, you call
oh,
that
yeah.
guy at the hotel.
The concierge was uncomfortable. And
but laughing.
And he points to Fred and he says, yeah, you need to get out of there. And Fred's in the back.
Fred refuses to get out.
He refuses to get
says,
out.
Says, oh, he was talking to you,
and
Paul.
I turn around. Yeah, and now he puts it all on me. It wasn't all. It wasn't all on me. So I say to the guy, where do you want me to go? And then clearly the guy realized how offensive he was. He's like, I'm sorry. I didn't mean that to be offensive. I didn't mean to insult anybody, right. I think he said.
That ship has sailed.
We just need to even. I said, well, you just tell me where to go. And I wasn't mad. I was. Yeah, I was a little insulted.
Fred was a little mad.
I said,
Fred
what,
was
what
mad.
Am I, on a boat?
Fred yeah, was mad.
Distribute the weight?
So I got in like the...
Only with guys as big as you.
I got in the middle seat and Andy gets in the back. And then, you know, we're just laughing and making fun of Fred and making fun of Paul, which was it was funny. It was genuinely funny. And then Andy and I are talking. I'm like, literally, even though Andy's thin and I'm not, there can't be more than a 10-pound difference between us. Maybe 15.
Right.
Can't be more than that.
Right.
And Fred and me are probably... close, and Andy's like 15 pounds lighter. Now, Eric is much lighter than any of us.
Right.
The fact that he thought it was okay for Andy and Fred to be in the back, but not okay for me and Fred. Wow, that was an idiot.
Anyway.
That was
funny because he's.
But have you ever gotten in a cab, John, and had the cab driver tell you, no, don't get in the way back?
You're too heavy to sit back there.
That happened in Houston?
Yep. Yeah. On our way to Buffalo Wild Wings.
your state. might yeah, say. Well, on the way to Buffalo
and
Wild
Fred,
Wings, I might add.
Fred, when we get there, he gets out and we're paying the cab, and he goes, I'll try to lose a little weight before you pick us up next time.
Yeah.
He was really mad. He wasn't happy.
You were.
Hey, cheapskates get more than one cab.
I wasn't mad.
It was a big
it was
van.
A big, it was a minivan cab.
It was a big minivan?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Was and what, he still told you not to get in the way back?
Yeah. Well, he said, can I ask that the smaller guys get in the back?
So
evidently, there was some shock issues. But again, like I said, there couldn't be more than a 15-pound difference between Fred and me.
But it looks like a lot more than that.
So for some reason, he decided.
I think what you've done is you have unearthed a Patriots Football Weekly listener or reader.
That's a classic.
Because he just knew it was coming. So the fat guy's in the front.
This is one of those stories. I had paid the guy off or something. Like somehow I had gotten to the cabbie and set this up.
I was set up like a...
But it wasn't. It was all true.
I
really think if this was off season, and as Eric and Andy would say, if this were next week, we could do a whole show on this.
Yeah, do we have shows next week?
If we win, I don't know. What are we going to do if we lose?
I'm glad you give
Tuesday,
me
Thursday, right?
Tuesday,
I'm
glad that Doc's involved in the show.
If it's a loss, it's back to off-season.
I don't
Thursday.
Know if we go immediately back into Tuesday, Thursday, or do
we
do a
we do.
We should talk. Well, Tuesday anyway.
Yeah, so. Tuesday definitely. Win or lose.
Yeah, back to Tuesday, Thursday if we lose.
I don't want to tell you who I'm picking, but I just called Pro Football Weekly to order my draft preview newsletters and asked her if she could make sure she had them to me by next week so I could start my draft.
Let me tell you something. We are winning this game, so
I don't get your hopes up. Right, I agree with you.
We're not getting our hopes up.
Paul would like to point out last time I was this sure about a Patriots loss.
Andy's right. The last time he predicted a loss in the playoffs was 05 against Denver.
You want to throw your two cents in?
When he uttered the infamous line, I'd rather be right than the Patriots win.
I don't like
our
chances.
Don't like our chances.
Well, you haven't liked our
chances
all
right. Stands with reason.
Rook has been
reason on this side.
He's been
the
opposite.
The playbook for
he's been the opposite of a meteorologist. John Rook has. He's been, when he's picked against him this year, he's been almost right every week.
But unlike you, Eric, he thinks that someday they might win a game.
I do think
someday they'll next year. Eric, they're never going to win again.
I never said that.
I think they got the perfect.
Yeah, still win a preseason.
Maybe.
I think they have
maybe.
Their perfect postseason opponent. They have a team that doesn't have a sophisticated passing game to take advantage of that.
This is true.
And they have a defense that they can still throw the ball against even without Welker because the secondary is so bad.
This
if it were the Jets, I think we'd be in big-time trouble because they can run it. Even though they don't have a quarterback, they can run it. And I think they'd stop you offensively with just Moss to worry about.
Yeah, but I also think that we would stop them.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. They would score enough points.
Frankly, I like the Patriots.
You guys are fighting about a game.
No, about a game that isn't going to happen. That's true. But I would tell you that if it were the
Patriots-Jets
in here.
AFC Championship game.
If it were the Jets in here, I would feel better about their chances than I do this week.
Me too.
Simply because of the emotional factor.
Yeah. Only because Sanchez would throw
interceptions. Absolutely. And because when it comes to stopping the run, I always like the Patriots' chances. If that's the main thing they have to stop, the run, they usually deliver that way.
Well, they need to stop it this week.
Hopefully, Wilfork and Warren will come back and help them stop the
run. And again, I'm assuming that they're back.
That's a big concern.
If they're not back, all bets are off.
But if they're back, are they healthy? That's the big concern.
That's why I'm hedging. Because without, you know, Wilfork and Warren in the middle, I can't make an educated guess right now. Let's wait and see what happens with practice this week, you know? Yeah. If they're...
You won't even know then.
Well, that's probably true.
Yeah.
You're right, because we don't know.
Sunday morning, we might know. You might not know in the second quarter because... With 350-pound guys, just because they start a game on a good foot doesn't mean the foot's going to be good 10 plays in, 20 plays in.
Jesus.
Well, we saw when Wilfork got hurt, he came back in the game a few plays later, and then
he hurt it again. So that could happen. I'll tell you, John, the one thing I think is in the Patriots' favor, and it's really the only thing that makes me feel like they could win, is just emotion. When they rally around something, whether it's Spygate or Matt Castle's first start, I feel like that makes them very dangerous.
Right.
And I still think that exists with this team a little bit.
Shocking. We're agreeing on two things in a row.
Because you've come to the side of reason. You stopped drinking all that tequila in Mexico.
I've come to the dark side.
Have you sort of adopted the national viewpoint, by the way, of the Thursday night game in that Texas has no shot? Or is your fandom just completely taken?
Have you noticed the line is shrinking?
Well, you leave your shrinkage to yourself.
Well,
it's cold in the pool.
It is cold in the pool. It's the line has gone from 5 to 3.5 in the last week to 10 days.
But have you listened to anybody nationally?
Yes, I've listened to all the national guys. They all think Alabama rolls, which is fine.
I think it's closer.
You know what?
We embrace the underdog role here, inside the playbook.
I believe it was the same way in 2006 against USC, and we all know how that turned out.
Yeah, you had a winner in Vince Young.
Also not true. A loser in Colt McCoy.
The winningest Colt quarterback in the history of college football.
And he's a
That's
loser.
That's a paper record. Paper record. That's all that means. You'll never get beat because the guy who's going to be good enough to beat it will be gone as a junior.
By the way,
I
think the kid Kellen Moore last night for Boise State probably beats McCoy's record. He is now, through 2 years, he's played 2 years at Boise. He's 26-1 as a starting quarterback.
He's going to beat that record.
I think he's going to beat
it. McCoy.
Now, McCoy's got, if they win Thursday, he'll be 46-7. So he's only got to get 20 more wins in 2 more years.
That's all.
That's 20 wins.
But the way that Boise
the way
plays,
they play, that's possible.
I mean, they play, you know, Western Athletic Conference teams. Yeah. They don't play anybody.
All right, well, that's going to be it for this edition of PFW Progress. Stay tuned for Patriots Playbook with John Rook. We will see you Wednesday. More exhilarating talk.